Here means the meeting is officially called to order. Regular meeting, Tuesday, June 5th, 2012. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
I sure will. Warren Keough, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Here.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Here.
Steve Culligan, District 4.
Here.
Darcy Solomon, District 5.
Here.
Jim Culver, District 6.
Here.
And Vern Halper, District 7.
Here.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. Before us, the agenda. Are there objections, amendments? What is Assemblymember Solomon?
Is this where we would pull from the consent agenda?
Yep. Uh-huh.
I'd like to pull Resolution A on the schedule of fees authorized under MSB 43.05.
Okay. Anything else, Assemblymember Keough?
I'd like to withdraw, as in completely removed from the agenda, item G regarding the public comment on the J Park EIS.
And okay, that requires a non-objection, doesn't it? Oh, well, right, it requires the majority that he was the maker. So, is there any objection?
If I could continue, the public comment period has been extended on this until July 9th, which so I will, my intention is to improve it with some input from folks on the Fish and Wildlife Commission and others and resubmit it for, have on the consent agenda for the June 28th meeting.
Okay. Assemblymember Halter.
I'm in.
Oh, okay. Was there objection? Okay. So that's off the agenda. Assemblymember Halter, I guess we'll go right around.
I want to pull action memorandum E, 12-071 on the next to see the E.
Okay. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item G, consent agenda, resolution serial number 12-060.
Okay. Assemblymember Culver.
We still have a few things left, but I think the last two. The ambulance fees, 12061, and the solid waste fees, 12059. Items G and E. The purpose of the solid waste fee to pull that is so that staff could give a explanation of how we're doing on the red ink and
We don't need to expound on it now. Is that all from the consent agenda? Is there anything? Assemblymember Keough?
Just to be clear, we'll have an opportunity to pull items from the consent agenda or action that was after the audience participation.
Certainly, we don't close that door, but we do out of respect for the audience, try to show our intentions up front. I don't see anything else on the agenda, so that's our orders for the day. We'll rise, and I'll ask our Planning Commission Chairman to lead us in the pledge. Mr. Clapper.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're still looking for a linguistic rule about when to say under God. Is there attorney guidance on that?
No.
You never know whether to pause or not. I guess sooner is better than later. So we have the minutes. Any comments? Agency reports. I see Palmer sitting right up front.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, and esteemed staff. Really quick tonight. There are a few items on your consent agenda that remain there that we do support. I'm sorry, Doug Griffin, City Manager of City of Palmer. So we definitely, the AM items, the three items that you have with regard to authorizing the borough manager to negotiate continuing contracts with the city of Palmer were approved by the city council on May 8th. So the dollar amounts are the same, and I think everything is pretty much the same in terms of those contracts being renewed for another year. So we are certainly in support of that and would support approval of that tonight as part of the consent agenda. At the meeting of May 17th, the Palmer Planning and Zoning Commission did approve the joint parking agreement. I think it was pretty much a perfunctory thing that all the requirements of our code have been met. This is the parking agreement that provided for the additional spaces needed for the assembly addition, the administrative building addition. There is about 40 spaces, and that was worked out, I think, with the mayor, manager, and the borough attorney working with St. John's Lutheran Church to allow that. So we don't need to build more parking lots. So that was a good thing. I think we met the requirements of the Palmer Municipal Code to meet the parking requirements without having to lay any more asphalt down. And finally, that the city council at its last meeting, the May 22nd meeting, did approve and direct me to start negotiating with the Palmer Senior Centers to turn over the old Senior Center building to them. That was something that was acquired by a grant, but they were the instigators behind it, and we've sort of been holding the title to that building. And I think the idea is for them to take it, and I think they may have access to grants to renovate it and rent it out or make it some kind of revenue flow for them to help maintain their new facility down further down South Chugach Street. So we'll start working on that with the Palmer senior citizens. That's all I have, Mr. Mayor. I know you've got a long agenda, so I'll be happy to answer any questions if you would like.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mayor DeVille, Assembly members. My name is Bert Cottle, City of Wasilla. I have just four items tonight. First is just an update on the library land. I'm told by your staff, that will come before you in July. Lake Lucille Park should come to you before the end of this month at your June meeting. And also, Mr. Mayor, and maybe you've already updated them, but Kubota in reference to AML and Bethel. I think that's a good deal, and we support that 100%. And also, just another attaboy or attagirl also, in the borough working with Senator Lisa Murkowski's office and FEMA on the flood zone issues here in the valley. We're already seeing some of the results of that. And inside the city limits of Wasilla and people being taken out of the flood zone that probably should have never been put there to begin with, which has a direct effect on their pocketbooks. But it's because of you sending people down to Juneau that helped us get that change. So just again, the thanks to Pam and Alex for their work down in Juneau. They did an excellent job. We're already seeing the benefits. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Is Houston here? Let's see, Houston School District.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Assembly Members, Mr. Moosey. My name is Lucy Hope. I'm here representing the Mat-Su Borough School District tonight. I'm the Director of Student Support Services, and I'm here tonight to share a brief report with you. We want to thank you again for your vote of confidence in what we are doing for students. And with a 3% increase in funding for this next fiscal year, on the last day of school, we were able to rehire most all teachers hired in the last 2 years. Just a very few with limited endorsements have not been rehired at this time. I want to share some exciting data results with you. We've been following our kindergarten students with mild disabilities who had been enrolled in our special education preschool programs prior to kindergarten. We've been implementing a literacy program in these preschool programs, and these same students, after 1 year of kindergarten, have scored at a 94% proficiency rate in beginning reading skills. This is a rate even higher than all of our kindergarten students as a whole, and we look at this as evidence that our early childhood programs are working very well. We are moving ahead on design of the Matsu Day School with the borough, and just today had a preliminary discussion on a site plan for the piece of land which will become a home for the day school, Frontier's Charter, and our district maintenance facility. And lastly, we would like to invite you to come to the district office tomorrow evening, if you're able, at 5 p.m. in our new school board meeting room. We'll be starting off by honoring many students and their specific achievements, and 24 of our employees who are retiring this June. Altogether, these employees have worked a total of 437 years in our district, and we'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you note that date? And
what date is it?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow.
Tomorrow evening. I'm sorry. Tomorrow evening, the special recognition for students and retirees is at 5 p.m. The school board meeting will begin at 6, and that's at our district office building in the new boardroom. Thanks.
Oh, okay. The one we're going to be using soon.
I think you'll enjoy seeing it.
I've heard good things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are all the cell phones off? Okay, a report. There was a meeting today on the school board. Some of them were Colbert. Were you there?
That was yesterday. The district school board assembly committee. We decided to hold the meetings another year over at the district offices in the superintendent's conference room at her office. They're two blocks on their re-roof project over there. You'll see there's a bunch of insulation stacked up in the room. The ceiling tiles tested positive for asbestos, so they've got to vacate the building in July and remove all the ceiling tiles. So they did test when they got into the roof project. They knew there was asbestos in the roof itself, but the ceiling tiles were a new issue one. So that's a $600,000 hit, apparently, on that project. They said that the Colony and Palmer Turfs will be in by fall. Some of the camps had to be relocated because of construction projects that are happening over the summer, the basketball and the football camps. They're installing a new computer system, and they're running parallel systems because they haven't collaborated the data between the two yet, so they're not ready to go on the new one until they are sure that the they're going to be able to crank out paychecks and that everything's in order. One thing that's on our agenda for introduction is the acquisition of Iditarod parcel. Got an update on that. The request coming in to not cut trees on the property, but since the borough or the district doesn't have any control over it yet, it's not really an issue that's ready to be dealt with by us. And we looked at the school board's board meeting room. It's a renovated gym at the old shared school at the district headquarters. It looks pretty good. Kids did a great job. They dropped the ceiling and put a bunch of sound panels in there so it doesn't echo so much. And then they moved their IT department out of the, where they were, and it was an old stage to some other offices in the building. So, but one big improvement that they have, they never had voting machines, and it was always kind of hard to get votes tallied and recorded, either having a voice vote or roll call or hands, and it never worked very well. But they have a mic with a button on it, so when we use our quarters, voting machines over there. So I guess we're, depending on this project schedule, Lonnie will move us over there. And Ron, maybe you can refresh my memory. Do we agree to meet on July and August? I think so on updates on projects.
Not in July, Mr. Mayor. And then also the good work done by Tammy and the staff with the administration, school administration, on getting bonds sold. They're really starting to plow through that and get their head around that. And I appreciate the expeditious manner of getting that work on the street. And get a contractor to work and getting our schools upgraded on the bond passed last October.
Good.
Warren was there as well, so we have well represented.
While we're on the schools, before we leave the schools and before the school district leaves last night, I'll just give you a heads up, because last night at Waco meeting in Willow, they had a major concern about upgrading and increasing the internet speed at the community center. I suggested that they work with the school district, because I know you've been plowing money into your entire system, and you might be able to find some synergy there. So I think they'll be approaching you. Okay, Assembly Public Relations, joint, we've done the joint committee. I guess Mr. Manager, you're next.
Good evening. We've had, I think, some valuable conversations at FTA regarding the MV Susitna. We have another conference call with staff this Friday. We have laid out our concerns and challenges with that, and I'm finding FTA being very understanding and helpful through this process. I'm targeting June 28th to kind of come back to you with the options that we have that we can move forward on quickly. At this point in time, we have engaged a surveyor or appraiser on what Susitna may bring in on sale. We also have right now an RFI for anybody to use the MV Susitna and the arrangements that would make, and we'll be receiving that shortly. And then also, too, depending on the value of the boat for sale, and then also, too, our likelihood on dealing that with FTA, that might be an alternative for the Assembly to consider. Newick is still in the picture. However, they're at the point where they get to use it for free, and we pay them to use it. And that's, we're not finding that acceptable yet. I think we're making good progress on that, and we'll keep you posted on all those issues. Also, too, we were planning to have Mr. Kurt Parkhan of Donovan Gold project, but because of the amount of stuff we have on the agenda this evening, we're going to push him to July 17th. And the reason he is coming, the Donovan Gold project is not in a borough, but they need to extend gas through the borough to get out to the project, and Mr. Parkin's pretty excited about it. It's going to be a huge opportunity for Alaskans. That's all I have this evening.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly Member Arvin.
Yeah, question for the manager. Along with those other cost analysis that you're having done, are we also getting the price to bring the vessel here and put it up on the beach at Fort McKinley?
yes, we are. We're trying to count those costs. Right now, that does not seem like our best option. There's a debate between people who are in the business and the person who designed the boat on what would happen to the boat if we pulled it off, and what infrastructure we need to do that. So we're trying to work through that debate. I mean, there's two distinct versions on what's going to happen if we do that. One, disastrous, and one, not a problem, to save a lot of money, and we're not sure which one to pick yet. What's your recommendation?
Assemblymember Keel.
To the mayor, to the managers, another follow-up question for the MV Susitna. The last time, I'm glad to hear that we're having an appraisal done. The last time this issue arose, many of us were surprised by the relatively small value of the vessel considering its costs, and that was secondary, I think, to a glut of ships worldwide. And I think that estimated value was $8 million at that time. Does that sound right? And I'm just wondering, has anything changed to think that appraised value of the vessel may have gone up in the last 6 months or so?
I think that's why we're doing the survey or the assessment, because I don't know if those were swag comments or not. I mean, people are just pulling out, this is what we think we're worth, what it's worth or what it'll sell for, without us actually testing that or having somebody to do a survey to really, really find out what the market is. So we're trying to attempt to really get the facts or what estimated facts by a professional as opposed to just guessing. And the number at the time was $5 million, but we may have a buyer. So.
Yeah, I heard that number, but it wasn't in the context of anything but a guesstimation. So.
Well, he's an expert of some sort.
Yeah. You know, there's only one way to find out what something's worth. Okay.
Great.
Mr. Attorney.
No
comments. Speechless. Madam Clerk.
The only thing that I have to say, Mr. Mayor, is that the clerk's report's in your folder. It has the upcoming meeting scheduled for July and August. And it does have the pertinent election dates also. So it's kind of information. That's it.
Okay. And
Mr.
Halter,
the June 28th meeting, is that heavy down here? Is that the sense of that date?
June 28th, through the mayor to Assemblymember Arvin, the only things that I'm aware of right now for June 28th are the items that are up for introduction tonight. Other than that, I'm doing more public hearings for local improvement districts. But the packet doesn't close until, I think, the 15th, so I won't know the consent agenda until then.
Were you going to suggest
that we not have June 28th? I was going to kind of do that.
Well, we already eliminated June 19th. So.
We better think about the input.
Okay. So, citizen and other correspondents? There's no IM, so we are to the unfinished business. And Mr. Halter, Madam Clerk, would you read it, please?
Ordinance 0 number 12-056, an ordinance amending MSB 15.24.030, comprehensive plan and purposes by adopting the 2011 Willow Area Community Historic Preservation Plan into the overall borough-wide comprehensive plan.
Public hearing is closed on this. Okay. We do have a lot of correspondence pertaining to that, and Assemblymember Woods has an amendment, so, yeah.
I move to amend the Willow Area Comprehensive Historic Preservation Plan on page 147 of the packet, page 98 of the plan, to delete all of section 4 titled IV Roman numeral 4, vision statement, goals, objectives, and recommendations in its entirety. Section 4 starts on page 147 of the packet, page 98 of the plan, and ends on page 157 of the packet, 108 of the plan. The reason for the amendment is that I do not want to commit borough resources without clear input from the manager with his analysis of the recommendations, what their impact will be, and his opinions about the use of borough resources and staff regarding this plan. I also want to direct the manager to form a working group to include residents, user groups, business owners, natural resource owners, users, and the Alaska Railroad to draft a new set of goals, objectives, and recommendations with a report to the Assembly by December 31st, 2012. The interest of the group is to grab something that will not stand in the way of the vote.
Okay. Pretty clear. So that amendment is on the table. I guess what I need to do is look at those numbers and see if they include my question. Thank you. further discussion? Assemblymember Keough.
Yeah, through the mayor to the manager. What's the impact on the overall plan by deleting this entire section that consists of 10 pages? Vision statement, goals, objectives, and recommendations.
Mr. Manager?
Yeah, I'm looking for a little help. I found her.
Good evening. Not having had the opportunity to look at that, I don't have it before me, and Fran Sager-Boss is not in town to answer that question at this point. I apologize for that.
Well, while you're there, can you tell us why 194 homesteads are listed there? Would this action have made each of them a historic site?
This plan is an inventory of parcels that were reviewed. The borough received funding to do cultural resources evaluations in three different areas where the rail was likely to go through, and as a result of that, the three different plans were brought forward. One was in Susitna, this one is in Willow, of course, and the other one was Houston. The benefit of this inventory, the plan is not intended to curb development. It's not intended to restrict any parcels. It's merely an inventory so that when the railroad does choose their route, they have that step that's complete. In addition, what this will also provide is if other large projects in those areas come forward for funding availability, if a private developer has a development that they want to propose that reaches the threshold where a cultural resources evaluation is required, that work has already been done, and it will save the developer or private property owner from having to do that. It in no way prohibits a private property owner from developing their property if it has a cultural resource on it. It's merely taking the inventory and, has already established that baseline. It's not a regulatory document. I wasn't involved with the preparation from start to finish of these. I mean, I wish Fran was here to speak more clearly to them than I am, but it's an inventory that's intended to kind of do the legwork ahead of time for future development that might come through that area. It's not going to prohibit.
She did include, though, the state law that requires private owners doing anything that touches anything that reaches this benchmark to give a 60 to 90 day notice to the state.
That's a requirement that's already in place by the state.
But only on items that are officially in this category of historic, which it seems to me what we're doing, we are officially recognizing. A lot of this looks like chit-chat, but it dawned on me, I think we are establishing the historic inventory. And it seems like that's the purpose of this, is it not?
It is an inventory, correct.
Well, I don't know, if I was living on one of those homesteads, I'd be a little alarmed. Mr.
Question to Mr.
Bass. Oh, yeah, I'd like to speak to the amendment, but just about everything's in the amendment.
So. The question is to the comments made on the inventory. Whether the plan passes or not, the inventory now exists. You don't lose the inventory simply because the plan fails to pass. The work to prepare the inventory and bring it forward to us, regardless if this becomes code or not, that inventory is still in place, so should a future developer decide on their land they want to examine and see if they are, in fact, relative to that inventory, we don't lose the inventory, do we, if we don't pass this ordinance? That information still belongs to us.
Well, my question is, I think we are conveying a status to everything in this ordinance that isn't there now.
I don't want to do that. We have the inventory.
Yeah.
Why do I need to codify it? The work's done. The inventory exists. It belongs to us. We've done the work. We've paid the money. So why do we need to pass this blanket ordinance over all these homesteads? I'm not sure I understand that.
Assemblymember Woods, I should let you speak as the maker of the motion. I'm sorry.
I think one of the major plans is that this ordinance, if passed, designates that we will spend $24,000 to complete proposed National Heritage Area designation. It itemizes it in a way that just says for some of the items $40 per hour per person, but with no total. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those issues, $40 per person. No recommended period. That caught my attention, so I looked through some of the other and some of the other comments are pertinent. And I believe that we can always, as suggested in my amendment, that we request the manager, if he wishes to go ahead with a committee to look at this a little more closely, but right offhand, it lets us apparently to $24,000 plus $40 per hour for at least 5 people. And so it's up to the question.
You're Mr. Representative.
Yeah, so first of all, I don't think some of the concerns you have, Mr. Mayor, are valid. I think this just identifies what's in the Willow area from quite a few years in the past up to the current, including homesteads, including bridges, including trails, including the post office, including the town center, including the library. It just goes on and on and on. It's not, it's kind of a, if you want to nominate it for a historical property, you still have to, you would have to do that. That's not part of this. It's just what's in the little area right now. I think Noel's concern and is whether or not that section 4 is intrusive. If it's required too much, he'd like to have it looked at by different groups, which could be people in Willow, I guess, and the railroad and business owners. I'm not so sure I had objected to that, but I do want to read something that came from Jim Houston, and it's a personal letter to me, and you can see it's written right here. Jim Houston's he's the president of the Willow Historic and Wildlife Foundation. He's vice president currently at the Willow Chamber of Commerce, and he's been president of the Willow Chamber of Commerce for, I think it was 10 or 15 years. And he just says, the enclosed letter written by Willow resident Steve Charles mirrors the sentiments of the Willow Historic and Wildlife Foundation, which participated in the drafting of this plan, and the Willow Chamber of Commerce. Its content is precise and accurate. We urge you to pass this plan. I just don't really see the major concern we're talking about here. When I first read this plan quite a few months ago, the way it read, like all the properties and things like that, it was a wonderful thing to know who was at a certain place at a certain time, how it was developed and things like that. We call it Nancy Lake now. It was Brown Lake at one point in time. Just a lot of really relevant information. And if we want to rewrite that section that Mr. Woods is talking about, so be it, I guess. I don't have a problem with that. But I don't think this is really a worrisome thing at all. And the letter that Mr. Houston referred to by Steve Charles, in the paragraph that sticks out to me, concerns that the plan might stand in the way of progress and impose on private property owners is unfounded. This plan does not go beyond what is required by Alaska Statute of Borough Ordinance, Chapter 4 of the plan, which addresses goals, objectives, and recommendations. Does not establish a special use district, nor does it mandate taking and restricting the use of private property or zoning or anything like that. Basically, it would just tell you that this is what's in a different area. If you wanted to move it to like a historical piece of property, you still have to do that at some point in time. And like a town site, I know Mr. Houston is interested in
historic town site as well declared that, but you still have to do that. I just don't understand. I actually think it would probably aid in help myself in the future because you know where things are already. But that's just a person. I don't really get it. I mean,
I'm sorry, if I could add one more just comment to follow on Mr. Halter's comments there. One of the things that this would do, as he stated, is if a person owned a parcel that was eligible for classification on the National Register, this document would be would provide the groundwork for that and would already establish the historic significance. And it might also provide assembly documented requirements that might make that property eligible to receive grant funding to improve their parcel for economic development purposes. For example, if a person had a historically significant site on the parcel that they owned, they might be eligible for grant funds if they were able to document that, you know, that particular event or structure or whatever did occur on that parcel. And that's one of the things that they would look for in granting funding for, you know, tourism type attractions and such. So
the member Culver.
One, if we wanted to take up the intent of Mr. Wood's ordinance to direct the manager to form a working group of Willow stakeholders, could we do a secondary amendment rather than take it out, just refer it to that committee, come back at time certain? Or do we need a new amendment?
If I can clarify what you're asking me, Assembly Member Culver, are you asking me in reference to taking out the Section 4?
Yeah, rather than take it out yet, first send the plan for, as been suggested in the amendment, to stakeholders to review those plan recommendations and implementation of those goals. Before we take it out, give them a chance to revise it or review it, and that would be the amendment to refer to. And so, can we do that with this amendment? Or we need another amendment. Because I think that's what he's getting at, but rather than take it out first, send it to a stakeholder group for another look and then bring it back.
Through someone or through the mayor to Assembly Member Culver, I believe you could probably refer it right now and just postpone it and send it out there right now at this point in time with that amendment still on the floor. Because the amendment that I'm saying that's on the floor is actually just to take out the Section 4. The direction to the manager, to me, is something different. It's not part of the primary amendment.
So if Vern wants to do that, he could do a motion to postpone or send to stakeholders.
So my recommendation, if you want to do that, is just postpone it. I would look for a date far out there so the manager has time to get the working group together and then direct the manager to...
That's what the clerk was suggesting.
I move to postpone the date certain to implement the fourth paragraph of Mr. Wood's.
And to no later than December 31st.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, it's a motion to postpone. Is there objection to that?
Can we have a... opportunity to discuss.
That's where you object. Yeah, you may discuss.
I may not object. I just wanted to discuss. The date on this thing is September 2011. It was revised in June. The Chamber of Commerce has had this. The Willow Historical and Wildlife Foundation has had it. The Community Council has had it. So if we postpone in this working group, which I would expect some of those folks are not excited to look at this one more time. Would this necessarily have to go back through the Planning Commission? Well, I guess I ask that question to the mayor and to the attorney.
This is assembly action.
think some of it over to you, Mr. Mayor. I think the reason that some of it over to you is asking is because there's a state law requirement that not any changes to planning laws, which this is, would be a comprehensive plan, have to be run through the Planning Commission. That being said, I don't think it does have to go back to the Planning Commission. You certainly could if you wanted to. Is it a legal requirement that it does simply because it's been changed after they've seen it? I think the answer is no. The state law contemplates changes made by this body. The ordinance is as it is right now. What you're doing is, conceptually, you're saying, we're going to delay this thing for a bunch of months. Mr. Manager, come back with some proposed amendments to Section 4.
Assemblymember Solomon.
I guess, to be indelicate, I'm in favor of voting on the main motion without Mr. Wood's amendment or anything else. I came here tonight to vote on it. Kick me down the road time and time and time again. Kick away, but I'm still where I'm at, and I don't know why we have to wait another 6 months. Is something going to alter my way of thinking between now and then, or any of yours? So let's just take a vote and let the chips fall where they will. Let it live or die tonight.
Okay, well, you're objecting to the motion to postpone.
Yeah, I think so.
I asked for that quite a while ago.
Well, I got
had
that took me some time.
Okay.
From the valley.
Okay. Okay, folks. Are we now ready?
Well, what?
Is there any objection to postponing? There was objection, so put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Keogh and Arvin opposed.
Okay, we will see this sometime before the end of the year. We're now ready for
just making my point.
Public hearings, yeah.
I figured the handwriting was on the wall, so what are you?
So, Madam Clerk, would you read for the record Ordinance 12-068?
An ordinance reappropriating $40,000 from the Land and Resource Management Division Fiscal Year 2012 Operating Budget Fund 203 to Fund 480, Project Number 45128, and approving the scope of work and budget for master plan for the Jim Creek Parcel. Resolution 0 number 12-054, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for the master plan for the Jim Creek Parcel.
Okay. First on our list is the Mr. Ken Barber, followed by Pat O'Connor.
Yeah, my name's Ken Barber. I'm a member of the Community Council Trails Committee member. Okay, I. The reason that I came tonight was I wanted to speak on this is that as far as the master plan goes, I think, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I would like to see the public testimony part of it at least to be done by August 15th. And the reason I say that is we've been waiting a long time for this thing. And there's been a lot of controversial things about it and a lot of things that are good and some are bad. But I just feel that by stalling it or taking longer time, it's not a good plan to do that because a lot of people who will be out there in the, like at September or whatever, are not going to be there. They're going to be hunting, fishing, or doing whatever they do. That's why I'd just like to see it done and completed before or by the 15th of August if it can be done. But basically, that's pretty much all I got to say on it. And that... The other part is that in the Butte Asset Area Management Plan, it does list this area as a motorized use, and that's what it should be used for, and that's what I believe. And as far as I'm concerned, motorized use is multi-use. There's nobody stopping you from using your feet. I don't care if you bicycle, hike, what you do. If it's open for motorized use, it's open for all uses. So thank you.
Thank you. Patrick O'Connor, followed by Russ Simpkins. Patrick
here. He left.
Okay. Mr. Simpkins.
Uh,
Hello, I'm Russell Simpkins. I'm the president of the Alaska ATV Club, and we have about 150 members, both in the, out here in the Mat-Su Borough and Anchorage. And I want to speak on support of this going forward, and pretty much to second everything Kenny said. And we've also been doing a lot of work out there trying to get this place cleaned up. We've done the Jim Creek cleanup for the last 10 years now. We just completed a cleanup here May 19th, pulling out another 7 tons of trash that have been there for a long time. And so we're looking forward to this place being pushed forward for our motorized use and hopefully to provide economic benefit to the community as well.
Thank you. That's all that's signed up. Does anybody else want to speak to this? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Keel.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-068 and resolution serial number 12-054.
Okay. Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to read into the record an amendment.
Excuse me. Let's let the maker of the motion speak to it first.
Thank you. First of all, regarding the comments by the two folks, Mr. Barber and Mr. Simpkins, commenting on this, Mr. Barber has it exactly right. A year ago at this time, the expectation was that this plan would have been completed by the end of last summer, and that hasn't happened. We're now at the beginning. We're at a start over, or we're finally getting it initiated. We just signed a contract with USKH as of yesterday to complete the master plan. With the, in this ordinance and resolution, is a request to extension past the June 30 deadline and to extend it to August 31st. So there's frustration on the part of a lot of folks who use that area, the Jim Creek parcel, motorized and non-motorized, about the fact that this plan has not been developed. Second, I'd like to acknowledge Mr. Simpkins and his group. They continue to clean up, and I know that you folks did a day-long effort here recently, and thank you. That's, I think, acknowledged by the service that the motorized user uses is even acknowledged by the non-motorized crowd, and I've heard their expressions of appreciation. So, I don't have a copy of the new asset area management plan and the language specific to that, but I don't believe the language is specific or exclusive for motorized use. It includes motorized, equestrian, and hikers and everything else. Is my recollection, even though I don't have the asset management plan in front of me. And that plan calls for the specific master plan for this this particular parcel in the Butte area. With that said, I can appreciate the desire to get this done, but the recommendation here by the administration is that it be extended longer, and the reasons for that are outlined in the IM. The LIDAR and aerial data release is will be available here sometime soon. I don't know. I'd like to have it done sooner rather than later, but I think we might have a better plan if we take the recommendation of the administration and let it go until as long as needed up until October 31st, and if there's some input, some observation through the mayor to the manager, the community development director can offer some insight here about scheduling and timelines, I guess I'd like to hear it.
Mr. Manager?
We have Mr. Phillips.
Okay.
Good evening, Eric Phillips, Community Development Director, through the Mayor to Assemblyman Keough. we actually discussed the scheduling of this plan quite a bit in deliberating the time frame to complete it. And I guess at the end of the day, we decided that we would rather do it well than do it fast. We're only talking a difference of about 60 days. We did not want to be perceived to be rushing this plan through to avoid public input. The motorized, non-motorized issue is, full of people that have very strong feelings on both sides, and we want to ensure that we get the input that we need so at the end of the day we have a good plan. And so that's why, we wanted to move these funds. We certainly didn't want to try to get it done by the end of June, and we felt we could get input throughout the summer and September and get the plan wrapped up. And I think, four months isn't a lot of time to deal with an issue that is so personal to so many people, to do the best job we can.
Thank you. Senator Culligan.
That's through the manager to the... So the reality is, I think the biggest question that people have brought forward is people available in August, September, and up until October. People are hunting, people are out doing other things. So either we get it done before August, or you extend it out further and have comment periods after those seasons when people are actually available. I think that is the question.
Well, there's...
So how are you going to... To me, just listening, October is no good. So it's either December, it's either August, mid-August, end of August latest, or it's December.
Well, the public, October will be, it's going to take time after all this information is gathered and the public input's taken. It's going to take time to, pull that plan together in October. But when we have different groups are available at different times. You've got some people that are not going to be available in July and August because the kids are out of school. They're going to be out and about and gone. We have, and I've talked to the gentleman, we have a lot of moose hunters and have been gone during moose season. So we started gathering input last weekend. All right, so we started last weekend the cleanup was last weekend. Whenever the cleanup was, we had our folks out there gathering input. So we've already started gathering input, and if we gather input from last week through, say, the end of August, maybe midway through September, that'll give us 6 weeks to pull the plan together. I don't know that we would be missing any groups with a early June through mid-September information public input gathering period.
So all public meetings, all public input are going to be done before mid-August?
No, I'm saying starting in 1st of June, which it's already started, and going through, say, mid-September, we should be able to pick up everybody. I don't know who we'd miss June through September. And if I am missing, I've just picked up this ball here in the last couple of weeks, so...
appreciate that. I just, I've been kicked out of the room for quite a ways. I want to make sure that especially the motorized users and the door folks have their due time to comment and involve, and that it needs to be extended for another month because we're not going to get them on the front.
All I can tell you is the community development director that ultimately has responsibility for seeing this plan through. I'm not going to put out a plan that is not does not include input from all the groups that are, interested in the plan. We're not going to put out a one-sided plan.
Okay. Assemblymember Arvin, let's get back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I move amendment to Section 2 of Ordinance Serial Number 12-068. On page 1 of the ordinance, page 231 of the packet, to insert the word motorized before the words master plan to read as follows. Section 2, reappropriation source. There is hereby reappropriated by the Madawaska Susitna Borough Assembly $40,000 from the Land and Resource Management Division fiscal year 2012 operating budget, Fund 203, Fund 480, Project 45128, for the motorized master plan for Jim Creek parcel. Likewise, I move to amend Resolution 12-054 on page 1 of the resolution, page 233 of the packet, to change the scope of work to read: motorized master plan for Jim Creek parcel, to plan for motorized access and motorized use of the parcel. And I'd like to speak to it.
You may.
Thank you. So we have certain areas in the borough that we have designated the overriding use as non-motorized. Okay? Jim Creek, this particular area, has historically been a draw point for motorized users, for access and for enjoyment. I want to have a preamble in this legislation that designates that the primary use of the land is for motorized, such that for time immemorial, we can draw a line in the proverbial Jim Creek silt and say that there is an expectation that this real estate will be kept in harmony with motorized users. It will be non-exclusionary. You can still have horseback access and foot access. And I think it's just important to do that. So that's the purpose of my motion, is to set the tone for a preamble that there's an expectation that this will be, that motorized use over time will not be diminished.
Okay. Thank you. Committee Member Keel.
Well, I'm going to speak in opposition to the amendment. What Assembly Member Arvin says is true. The area is a huge draw for motorized users. But putting it in a historic context, long before motorized users frequented the area, it was used by, it had heavy equestrian use. And some of those equestrian users have been displaced. And I'm particularly recalling that conversation I had with Ms. Margaret Brunzer. I think it was a long-time nurse, public health nurse, long-time resident of the area. And some others, Patty Huntsman, and some of her relatives. So there's been a long history of horseback use of the area, and those folks have been displaced. So I think it would be really inappropriate to make the change to emphasize motorized when it should be a shared use place. And I guess I would, the mayor to the manager, I don't have a copy again of the Butte Asset Area Management Plan, but I don't think there's anything in that language that designates the Jim Creek parcel with an emphasis on motorized use over other non-motorized uses. So I guess my question is that in the Butte Asset Management Plan that directs the creation of this master plan for the Jim Creek parcel, is there anything that says there's supposed to be an emphasis on motorized use versus non-motorized use?
Mr. Manager?
No. I would think, though, that this amendment would make that change.
Certainly. I haven't memorized the asset management plan. I think it was done by the state in conjunction with us, but it certainly clearly accommodated motorized use. Didn't leave it unspecified. Assemblymember Woods?
I like going back in history and what developed that area was the loggers. During the development here of this area, a lot of the logs that were made to build the log homes for the colonists came from up in that area. It was a major, and that's how the paths and trucks, and at one time there was a wooden bridge over Jim Creek. And horses are relative new phenomenon, and again, I would hold with motorized using being not prominently exploited here because some of the people that I know of that have motorized vehicles would intentionally not let other people, however they move by foot or horse or bicycle, off those trails. They're just common use and everywhere. It's just that some of us are not capable of walking that far or bicycling, and certainly are not capable of mounting a horse anymore. So I don't believe the option, the way it's written here, would delete any other occupation. So I'll support the amendment.
Okay. I just, some of them are, just for clarity's sake, it wasn't your intent to exclude equestrian.
No, in fact, my comment was that this would be non-exclusionary. All users can have access. That's, I think, the tone that we're trying to set for all borough public lands, is that it shouldn't be exclusionary. But we have certain lands that have primary designation called out. And we have certain lands, the primary designation is called out as non-motorized. And although this is not even that far, it's not saying that motorized is a preferential primary use, but rather is putting it in the legislation such that years down the road, when there's an effort made by somebody to make that area non-motorized as well, there will be history that there was discussion and public process whereby this was codified today, that motorized will be a use of that land. So it doesn't exclude anybody.
Assembly Member Salmon.
I'd like to vote on the amendment, sir.
Their objection to closing debate? I don't hear any. So I've heard objections, so put it on the board on the amendment.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assembly Member Keough opposed.
Okay, we have before us the primary motion, the main motion as amended. Are we ready for the question?
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, so did we settle the date for delivery of the deliverable? I'm not sure I heard that was published.
I guess a comment to my own question. The reality is I'm not totally satisfied, but I think we put enough pressure on the manager that we can make sure that everybody's included before hunting season.
Okay. Please put it on the board.
Main motion.
Main motion, as amended.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Keough opposed.
Okay.
6-5.
Yeah, it's been a request. Let's take. There is no 5. Let's make it 10.
You're right.
5 never happens. Okay, our 10 minutes is up. Let's get back to work. At the table, so I'm going to get started. Madam Clerk, Ordinance 12-069.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $240,000 from the United States Fish and Wildlife Service for the fish culvert replacements under the Fish Passage Improvements Project, Project Number 30114, Fund 410, Resolution Serial Number 12-055, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget for up to 5 culvert replacements under the Fish Passage Improvement Project, Project Number 30114.
Okay, we're going to open the public hearing. If nobody signed up, does anybody want to speak to this? Culverts get a free pass every time. Okay, we'll bring it back to Assemblymember Arvin.
So moved.
I'll second that. Is there discussion? There's no discussion. Is there objection? Seeing and hearing none, that's complete. We have one more ordinance. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance serial number 12-070, an ordinance to accept and appropriate $20,000 from the Alaska State Department of Natural Resources, Office of History and Archaeology, to Fund 480, Project Number 47011, Archaeological Surveys, to conduct an archaeological survey and inventory of historic and prehistoric sites of borough land in the middle of the Susitna River Valley. Resolution serial number 12-056, resolution approving the scope of work and budget to research and conduct an archaeological survey and inventory of archaeological sites on borough lands in the middle Susitna River Valley.
Thank you. Does anybody want to speak to this? Somewhat related to our unfinished business. There, again, there's nobody signed up. And nobody wants to speak, so we'll close the public hearing and bring it back to Assemblymember Halt.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-070 and resolution serial number 12-056. Ask for support of it, and I will accept Mr. Woods' amendment, which adds specificity to the scope of work.
Mr. Woods, read that in. Assemblymember Woods, would you move your amendment, please? Or Madam Clerk, is it an amendment since he incorporated it into his motion?
He didn't. He just said he supported it. He didn't read it into the record, Mr. Mayor.
That's not quite how I heard it, but no.
I move to amend resolution serial number 12-056, page 266 of the packet, page 2 of the resolution, and the scope of striking in its entirety and inserting the following. Staff will conduct an archaeological survey and compile a professional report on public lands north of Trapper Creek along bluffs overlooking the Shulitna River Valley and bluffs above the Talkeetna River overlooking Shenela Creek. To be limited to the Shenela village mapping and survey and open test excavation at TAL 92. And this the spring district is on page 261 of the ordinance or the serial resolution 12056.
Okay.
It identifies specifically the areas that they have proposed. And since we're furnishing money for this, I thought that was appropriate.
Okay. Is there discussion? Somebody's in a hurry to not object. Is there any? So is there any objection? Okay, the amendment is approved. We're back to the main motion. Further discussion? Objection? Hearing none, it passes. And before I forget it, I would like an official definition of a historic site, as we're using it in our all of our documentation. I looked for it in the legislation that we postponed earlier, but that's pretty significant, I would think. We're now ready for our audience participation, and we have quite a list. Starting with Andre Koester. Chostek. Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Mayor, Manager, Assembly Members, my name is Andre Chostek, and I'm a local resident of the area and a small business owner. I'm here to support resolution serial number 12060. At this time, a comprehensive HIA needs to be conducted due to serious shortcomings that exist in the current rapid draft HIA. Data gaps identified in the draft, substantial lack of critical information about local populations, subsistence, foods, cultural resources and health effects from blasting, light, noise, and diesel pollution, and the high possibility of groundwater contamination. A comprehensive HIA should include precise analysis of all these health threats, establish a baseline data on groundwater mapping, water quality, fish, and wildlife resources. Recommendations stated in the draft HIA are extremely weak. Mostly, only recommend monitoring without mitigating identified health risks. The usability plans for 24-hour mining operations in a residential neighborhood should not be allowed without full assessment of health impacts and written effective plans to mitigate those impacts. A comprehensive HIA should be based on sound scientific research, then spoken promises from the mining company. That's always get broken. I ask that the assembly member fulfill their obligation and duty to protect the health and well-being of the entire population of Matsu Valley, because we all going to be negatively affected by that project. After 40 years of inactivity here, this is something new that's coming to the area. Mad Valley is, especially when it's located in the Moose Range, with extremely extreme wildlife habitat, watersheds, and very close to Matsu Valley, with a 100,000 population reaching right now, we need to protect our valley residents. So I'm here to support the resolution number 1206. Thank you very much, Mr. Keogh.
Alex Kostik, followed by Bonnie Zico.
My name is Alice Chostik, and I'm a local resident of the Wishbone Hill area. I'm here to support Resolution 12060. The draft HIA was a start towards identifying the impact on residents. However, we are in need of a comprehensive HIA to clarify ways to mitigate potential problems and help to alleviate residents' concerns, thus making the borough a responsible partner with businesses. To move ahead without a full comprehensive HIA would be potentially costly to the borough and the mining industry should some of the concerns that were noted as high risk in the draft emerge during the mining operation. There are a number of data gaps in the draft that need to be further addressed in a comprehensive HIA. There is nothing to fear about doing a comprehensive assessment and should be something that the borough would want to as a responsible local government that represents the best interests of the residents of the Matsu Borough. Please vote yes for Resolution 12060. Thank you.
Thank you. Bonnie, followed by Heidi Zimmer.
Hi, my name is Bonnie Zirkel. The borough's goals have been to protect public safety, health, welfare, and its residents, to protect groundwater, aquifers, and our clean air. If the proposed mines don't feel they will be a danger to the communities, then they should welcome a comprehensive health impact assessment. Obviously, this isn't the case. In their permits, the chemicals that they say that they will be using are cancer-causing. The chemicals that the people will be exposed to from mining create many health problems along with cancer-causing. Monetary greed should never come before the health and safety of the residents of the valley. How can any of you look at us and tell us our lives do not deserve to have a comprehensive health impact assessment? A vote against Resolution 12060 will be a vote against the good people of the valley. I fully support Assemblymember Keogh's Resolution 12060.
Heidi, followed by Jennifer Harrison.
Hi, my name is Heidi Zimmer, and I'm also speaking on behalf of a nonprofit organization, Alaska Community Action on Toxics. I also have a number of friends and family in the valley, so I speak as well as a local resident. So just a word of explanation, a health impact assessment is it's actually used across the world, internationally, as well as all across the country. It's an analysis of the effects, both positive and negative, of that a project may have on the health of a community. And it also addresses the distribution of those health effects among different groups of people within the community, so different populations, the young, the elderly, different ethnic groups, things like that. And the existing HIA for Wishbone Hill is a rapid appraisal document that identifies health effects based on existing data. So it goes through and methodically considers potential health effects, again, both positive and negative, in 8 standard categories. And in 7 of these 8 categories, the risks of significant health effects were rated medium or high. And significant negative health effects related to coal mining and transportation of the coal for export include cardiovascular disease, lung disease, cancer, stroke, heart attacks, childhood asthma, cognitive impairment, sleep disturbance, depression, and other mental health problems. This is all backed up in pretty extensively in the medical literature on the topic based on studies of coal mining in other areas. In other words, medium or high risk of negative health effects means people. These are maybe your friends, your family, your children. These are people who are sick and who may be sick or dying. This sounds dramatic, but I want to point out that the rapid appraisal health impact assessment also includes a lot of uncertainty because in addition to identifying the potential health effects, it also identifies some huge data gaps, so huge that this rapid appraisal HIA is unable to adequately characterize the health risks of this coal mine using the information we have so far. Without a thorough examination of these health risks, the HIA program, the State Department of Health, does not have enough information to recommend mitigation strategies or changing the mine plans that would effectively protect public health. And the HIA document itself, the rapid appraisal, recommends further studies to close these data gaps and evolve into a comprehensive HIA. And the health concerns that are being raised are not being addressed at any other point in the permitting process. Looks like my time's up, so I will just remind you all that everyone in this room and everyone in this community has a right to clean air and clean water, and we also have a right to know about all of the health risks that we may be exposed to. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Jennifer, followed by Doyle Holm.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Harrison. I'm the executive director for Chicklin Village Traditional Council with 3 office locations and 50 employees in Sutton and Moose Creek. First, I would like to say that I greatly appreciate your willingness to provide this public service by serving on the assembly, especially on a beautiful day like today. I know it is not easy to spend so much time away from your families, but we need people that are willing to provide this public service in order to build a responsive, trusted, and efficient organization that fosters a safe, well-maintained community in which businesses prosper, public services excel, and education opportunities abound, where nature, history, and culture are preserved, and people have the opportunity to live in good health and harmony. So, Chinan, thank you. Tonight, I'm here to encourage you to approve Resolution 12-060. As you may know, our Yanidaa School is in close proximity to the proposed coal mining activity at Wishbone Hill, and the access road is within 1,000 yards of our school. While we appreciate that a rapid assessment was completed by the state of Alaska in order to identify potential impacts and provide mitigation strategies, the rapid assessment resulted in identifying significant data gaps. In particular, questions were raised and left unanswered pertaining to hazardous materials exposure, groundwater, contamination, and air quality concerns, which are some of our greatest concerns for our children who attend our school. asking the state of Alaska to expand the rapid HIA into a comprehensive HIA will in no way hold up the permitting processes or usability plans. It will not cost the Mat-Su Borough any money. It will, however, allow the closure of some of the identified data gaps and provide a measure of peace of mind for individuals who will be most affected by coal mining at Wishbone Hill. At this time, I'd also like to invite you to our annual Tribal Family Celebration. We're having it on Saturday, June 16th from 11 to 4 p.m. at the Raven Hall at the Alaska Fairgrounds. Lunch is provided. As you may know, in the past, I invited all the assembly members to visit our Elders Lunch program and go on a grand tour with me on any Thursday afternoon. I would also like to extend that invitation to the new assembly members and to the borough manager and the attorney. Please contact me at 745-0749 if you are interested in learning more about what we are doing in Sutton. Chenan, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Doyle, followed by Lisa. Wade.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. Since I drove down here all the way to see what was going to happen with the Willow Historical Plan, I figured I'd get my nickel's worth. Doyle Holmes from Willow, former borough assemblyman. Mr. Mayor, I have to agree with you. Just the fact that my hardware store property has been identified in this potential plan kind of worries me a little. The state has a voluntary program. If I want to identify my buildings as historical monuments, or I call them hysterical monuments, I can do that, and then I can't make any changes without the state permission. With this type of operation, and actually the state doesn't have any kind of a hammer over me unless I voluntarily do it. The borough does, and the borough plans do affect private property because the hammer that you have is a platting board and a platting process and a building permit. And the fact that these things are identified in this is kind of scary because that means that that puts the shoe on the other foot. I have to prove that it doesn't have a historical value before you allow me to build or change my buildings or change the platting of my property. A little bit bigger issue is what I have with this is the way that it's being handled. Once upon a time, this started out as a Willow historical plan, and I've always maintained that it had in it a borough-wide land use ordinance that was covered up with Willow historical paper. That's all it was. Looks like somebody has figured that out now, and it's now became part of the comprehensive plan of the Mat-Su Borough without any public hearings. I got to get this straight tonight. You postponed a Willow historical plan approval. You've changed the ordinance number now, and you've changed the title of it to include it in the Matanuska-Susitna Borough Comprehensive Plan. It's not the same ordinance anymore. So basically, you've heard a substitute ordinance, I guess, but it wasn't identified that way either. The previous borough attorneys that I lived under would have kicked me out of here if I tried something like this. So I think you've got a legal problem, too. It's a tar baby or a tar ball that you're not going to get away from. I think what you need to do logically would be to come up with a historical plan as part of the comprehensive plan of the Mat-Su Borough. Identify what it is you want, and then include certain communities into it. And that way you could, in fact, protect the history of each one. That plan should be sent out to all of the people in the community councils and come back for public hearings and go through the planning commission and come before the board rather than hit out in a document that you can't really determine that. So I think you've done some really shifty dealing tonight, and I think the attorney might eventually agree to that, but we'll see. Thank you very much for listening to me. I get to go home.
Thank you. Lucky you. Thank you. Lisa, followed by Aubrey Spangler.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, assembly members, attorneys, Bonnie. My name is Lisa Wade, and I am the Health and Social Services Director for Chicoloon Village Traditional Council. I'm also a PhD candidate at the University of Alaska Anchorage in clinical and community psychology with a rural indigenous emphasis. I've spent a significant amount of time reviewing the draft health impact assessment for the proposed coal mine at Wishbone Hill, and I am here today to help provide information which I hope may help guide your decision to ask the state of Alaska to expand the Rapid HIA into a comprehensive health impact assessment. This project fits the very definition provided by the state of Alaska to warrant a comprehensive HIA. In fact, currently, the HIA projects listed having comprehensive health impact assessments include Alaska Pipeline Project, Chewitna Project, Donlin Creek Project, Foothills West, Pebble Prospect. There are only two listed as having a rapid assessment. So this comprehensive health impact assessment includes addressing the population influx near the mine site, major impacts to key social determinants of health, and it is necessary to address information gaps related to well-known aspects of the project which were identified in the Rapid HIA. The key areas with data gaps having medium to high potential impacts included exposure to potentially hazardous materials, water and sanitation, supplies and impacts to local surface waters, social determinants of health, food, nutrition, and subsistence use patterns, and infectious diseases. These key issues are not easily dismissed without further evaluation. Therefore, a comprehensive health impact assessment should be warranted on this project. The state of Alaska indicates that the HIA was performed within a restricted time frame which precluded extensive field study or the collection of any new data which could have closed some of the critical data gaps. Some may suggest that you should wait this out while the HIA is still in draft form, but now is actually the perfect time to move forward with this request rather than waiting to evaluate and then later on negotiate mitigation strategies to protect our community. The state of Alaska is asking for feedback now, and comments are due on June 14th. How will we know what we need to protect Matsubara citizens without going through this process? Please keep in mind that your vote here today in support of the resolution may not be enough to actually generate a comprehensive HIA, but it will send a clear message to all of your constituents that the assembly members sitting around this table, I'm almost finished, I apologize, listen to their Health and Social Services Advisory Board, and that you not only care about economic development in our community, but also the health and wellness of all individuals and families within the Matsubara. Thank you.
Thank you. Aubrey, followed by Christy Masiola, something like that.
My name is Aubrey Spangler, and I am a family nurse practitioner that works in a birth center in Wasilla, and I specialize in women's reproductive health and pediatrics. I have two small children, and I live within a mile of the proposed Wishbone Hill coal mine. I see no reason not to ask for a comprehensive health impact assessment when there are so many people living in the area, and I think it would be completely irresponsible to vote this resolution down. My duty as a nurse practitioner is to be an advocate for my patients, while your duty as assembly members is to be advocates for us. Please pass this resolution for your constituency.
Thank you. Christy, followed by Jeremiah Miller.
Krista Masiolik, I live approximately a quarter mile away from the Wishbone Hill Mine Project. So I'm very interested in this project, and I've spoken to you before about it and other public meetings about it. I read the health impact assessment study with a lot of interest because it is in my backyard, and I notice it jumps out at you, at anyone who's not that skilled in reading this kind of reports, that there is too much information that's missing from it to really understand, to really have it be a meaningful assessment of what the health impacts actually are. And I discovered through Mr. Keogh's resolution that it's because it's a rapid assessment and not a comprehensive assessment. And I found that unbelievably discouraging and depressing, that our lives and our communities are not worth a comprehensive health impact assessment. You have heard from the community time and time again about the concerns about this mine. To vote against a resolution that just simply calls for more information about what the impacts are going to be is just stunning to me that it would be considered controversial. Don't our lives and our homes and our environment mean anything to any of you? I mean, please take this seriously. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to my neighborhood. And it means a lot to the people in the Mat-Su Borough. You want to send a message about what the Mat-Su Borough is about? This voting against this sends the message that you don't care about the people who live here. Thank you.
Jeremiah, followed by Liz Snyder.
Hello, Mayor DeVilbiss and members of the Assembly. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with all of you tonight. Also, thank you for your service. It's a beautiful day, and I know it's hard to be in this building, so we appreciate that. My name is Jeremiah Millen. I'm the Executive Director of Friends of Mat-Su. I'm also a resident of the Fishhook Community Council area, which is listed as Zone 3 in this rapid health assessment. I'm here to offer firm support on behalf of our members and the community for Resolution 12-060 for a comprehensive HIA health impact assessment for the Wishbone Hill project. You know, regardless of whether you're for this project or against it is really not important. What is important is that the best available science is collected to ensure that public health risks associated with a coal mining development of this scale and this location can be properly mitigated. That's the bottom line. And I want to remind you with the Wishbone Hill project, nobody's explaining this yet, but Wishbone is not a permitted mine yet. They don't have a mining permit. They're still lacking valid air permits. And so this is the time to get comprehensive data to protect communities. You know, I've worked on development projects for close to 12 years all over the state with communities, and these include small projects to huge industrial projects. And I first became aware of the health impact assessment as a tool in 2007, I think, when the first one was completed for the North Slope oil and gas development. And though they're fairly still new tool here in Alaska, they are heavily used around the states, and they're heavily used internationally. And here in Alaska, the state generally uses them when the scale and location of a project has obvious potential impacts to a community. This is the same reason that the state has agreed and justified that a health impact assessment on Wishbone Hill is warranted. And this is the first project that I know, the first coal project I know that would be located in the middle of a residential neighborhood. It's hard to argue that. We could split hairs over how close it is, but it's truly unique. And so it warrants very comprehensive and critical study. Due to this location, it's impossible to maintain that there won't be some sort of significant impacts. So though that we're encouraged that the state has chosen to do this rapid health impact assessment, we've maintained all along that we really feel that a comprehensive assessment is what's been needed. And the rapid assessed time frame that's been used has caused a lot of public concern for this. It's a quick timeline. It calls into question the integrity of the very study. And I think others have said, based on the rationale from the state, this project meets all criteria for a comprehensive HIA. And I'm going to wrap this up here in a second. I just want to clear up a couple misconceptions. An HIA is not required by law. Okay. It can't be used to stop the project, and it's only going to expand the work that's been done. And I just want to remind you, if you care about the health of communities, which you are tasked to do, you've heard about this issue from thousands of people, you know how contentious it is, a vote against this resolution is a vote against community, and it's your decision, but I really strongly want to encourage you for the health of our communities to just ask for a comprehensive assessment. Thank you, Mayor DeVilbiss, and thank you, the Assembly. I'm sorry that I went over. Thank you.
Liz Snyder, followed by Michelle Provost.
Good evening. My name's Liz Snyder. I'm an assistant professor of public health at UAA and a soil scientist. I was also a member of the committee that was involved in developing the state HIA guidance document. So thank you for providing this opportunity to speak this evening. And I'm here to advocate for a comprehensive HIA of the Wishbone Hill Mine, not as an additional HIA, but as an improvement of the current rapid HIA assessment. The Wishbone Hill HIA is one of the first conducted through the relatively new state HIA program, and it's important that we set a good precedent, particularly in a community that is located so close to the proposed development area. If you refer to the current draft HIA document, actually on page 3, where they defined what a comprehensive HIA is, you'll see some bulleted points where a comprehensive HIA is required, whether there's resettlement of existing communities, disruption of subsistence practices, impacts to key social determinants of health, and information gaps related to a well-known aspect of the project. And all of those that I just read to you, those apply to the proposed mine. And I can summarize that in some public comments that I also provided, which Lisa mentioned are due by June 14th. So given the provided list of potential criteria for a comprehensive HIA, a comprehensive HIA is appropriate for Wishbone Hill. Stakeholder input indicates the potential for relocation of existing communities. Subsistence use practice information is conflicting, and health impact prioritization rankings were medium to high. Impacts to key social determinants of health were also ranked medium to high. Large information gaps remain for air quality, impacts to water resources, and current subsistence practices. It's also interesting to note, shortly following that on page 3 of the Rapid HIA, that it's noted, as Lisa said as well, that the HIA was performed within a restricted time frame. And that's a problem, particularly with respect to policy and public acceptance standpoints of HIAs in the state. The Rapid HIA done by the state, I believe, is a great start, but it needs to be expanded upon. It's not complete. And in closing, a vote to support the appropriate level of an HIA, in this case, I believe, a comprehensive HIA, is a vote to protect and promote public health, regardless of one's stance on a proposed development project. And you really can't go wrong with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Michelle, followed by Jessica Winstamper.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Prevost, and I'm a physician and surgeon in the local area, as well as an impacted resident by the coal mines in the Matanuska Valley. And I am here to support Resolution 12060. Those who spoke before me are actually far more eloquent than I am about highlighting the key data gaps that are critical in identifying the potential health risks to the communities that will be impacted. Wishbone Hill is just one of proposed mines, and this health impact assessment will set a precedent for recognizing that to benefit the health and welfare of the residents of the Matanuska-Sioux Sitna Valley, a big project like this needs to have a comprehensive health impact assessment in advance so that proper strategies can be identified to mitigate and minimize the risks and protect public health and welfare. I have already submitted to you in writing my comments. I'm also here on behalf of many of my colleagues from the hospital, nurses, pharmacists, other physicians, and you should have received a letter signed by numerous other colleagues that believe that a comprehensive health impact assessment is essential to ensuring the public safety. And voting against this resolution would basically tell your constituents that you do not support public health and safety, and that you, honestly, it gives the message that you don't care, and I don't think you want to send that message. Thank you for your time this evening.
Jessica, followed by Sinobre.
Good evening. My name is Jessica Winstaffer, and I live within 1 mile of the proposed, it's actually of the Wishbone Hill lease area and coal mine access road. I'm here to encourage you to support Resolution 12-060 to request that the State of Alaska Department of Health and Social Services expand the preliminary draft Wishbone Hill Rapid Health Impact Assessment into a comprehensive health impact assessment. I grew up in the neighborhood of the proposed Wishbone Hill coal mine, and 10 years ago I chose to build my cabin there and to raise my family here. I would like to have a comprehensive HIA to better be able to assess the proposed Wishbone Hill coal strip mine and its potential effects on the health of Mat-Su residents, including the health of my family and my neighbors. The draft Wishbone Hill Rapid Health Impact Assessment has identified factors which make a comprehensive health impact assessment appropriate, including the fact that there are major social determinants of health, major impacts to social determinants of health. There are critical data gaps, and it is a large project with significant construction activity. Please take seriously the recommendations of the Borough's Health and Social Services Board to request a comprehensive HIA for the proposed Wishbone Hill coal strip mine. Thank you.
Thank you. There's nobody else signed up. If you want to speak, please come forward. State your name for the record.
Mr. Mayor and Assembly, my name is Marvin Yoder. I am reading a statement on behalf of the Mat-Su Business Alliance and a statement written by Case Lack. Dear Assembly members, the resolution 12060 presented at this evening's meeting by Assemblyman Keough is premature and should not be passed by the Assembly. The draft Rapid Health Impact Assessment, HIA, has not been fully vetted. The deadline for comments on that draft is June 14th. A process is in place with regard to HIAs and is essential to business that the process be followed. Throwing another loop into the system can only harm future development and job growth in our borough. Information that was not addressed in the HIA is being addressed in the permitting process. Nothing can be gained by requesting a comprehensive HIA at this time. I do not support the resolution and encourage Assembly members to vote no. I think that the issue is that we want to follow the process. Once the rapid impact is determined and the state has all that information, it will be then as the time to look at that final result and then make a determination whether further studies are needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Good evening. I'm Dr. Gary Benedetti. I am a local physician. I also live in the area affected by the coal mines. As you research the health effects of coal mines, which I've had the unfortunate need to in the last several years, you realize there's no such thing as a green coal mine. And from Appalachia to Australia, coal mines have had adverse impacts on communities, both socially and their health. And so all we're asking for is let's clearly define what these impacts are going to be on these neighborhoods that are right next to these coal mines so that we can identify that yes or no, these communities are at risk, and so that we can take the proper steps to mitigate any effects. In most of the filings the Yusuf Belli coal mine has with the state, they won't even recognize that these neighborhoods exist. And if they won't recognize these neighborhoods exist and we don't recognize there's potential health effects, we cannot mitigate those health effects. And that's all we're asking. So I ask you to vote in favor of this resolution. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Good evening. My name is Michelle Church. I really don't intend to speak every time, but so much going on. I just want to say that I cannot agree with the spokesperson for the Mat-Su Business Alliance. A health impact assessment cannot be adequately addressed in a permitting process. What will they include in the permitting process if they haven't done the assessment to know what they need to include in the permitting process? So it's definitely putting the horse after the cart on that one. So I would echo the statements of the people who live in this area and the medical professionals that have spoken and urge you to do a comprehensive study. Knowledge is good. Thanks.
Anybody else? See, I thought I saw you moving
this
around.
This is a public hearing, right?
Just about, it's on anything. It's audience participation on anything.
I just wanted to make certain that this was appropriate.
Thank you.
Anything appropriate that's not profane or about a public hearing?
Mayor DeVilbiss, my name is John Klaprick, Honorable Assembly members. I was in front of you a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about the budget process and the income and expense, and I certainly understood some of the inquiries back to me that you are doing everything you can for income. But I'm here tonight just to show my support for the Economic Development Director's Department, the ordinance coming up for reappropriating $95,000. And the reason why I support that is it is clear the demand and expectations of this Mat-Su Borough government will only increase in the next year to year, and let's say for generations. I can't imagine the resources that'll be demanded of this to provide basic government resources will get less. And we're all acutely aware that the majority of the revenue is brought in by property tax paid for by homeowners and business people. And you've seen the assessed value. I'd say it's kind of flatlined in certain areas. So we will never tax ourselves into prosperity. So we will never be able to keep up with funding the basics, like I said, that you need to deliver. So I find this new economic development director, Don Dyer, is like literally a breath of fresh air, a private businessman, a farmer, if I may, and he knows income and expense. And he has spent time researching the economic development strategic plan that was adopted nearly 2 years ago by the Assembly. So it is my belief that Mr. Dyer and his department should certainly have your support for the minuscule dollars that he is asking for when you look at this overall budget. But more importantly, I would like to believe that he needs your support. He needs your trust. And if he's given your trust and the minimal dollars he's requesting, I truly believe he and his department could be solely responsible for millions. And when I say millions, I mean millions of dollars of new revenue cash flow to this borough within the first year. So I highly encourage you to agree to the ordinance serial number 12073 for the reappropriation and give him your trust and your torch and say, let's increase economic development revenue to this body. I thank you.
Okay, and we'll hold you to that million.
I need millions.
Yeah.
I need the one.
Please come forward, say your name.
My name is Taffy Nakatkus, and I'm here also to support the transfer of funds for the economic development. We need to grow business because it stops us from having to raise our taxes. We need to grow business because it helps us be more sustainable and more diversified as a state and as a community. And we need to grow business because it offers jobs and a more skilled pool for our community. A quality of life is very important. We need that in our community, and I say let's invest in our community by helping us take that money and put it back to our businesses. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Oh, we just about missed it.
Sorry.
My name is Lynn Carden. I'm the Executive Director of the Greater Wasilla Chamber of Commerce, and I'm here in support of Serial Ordinance 12-03. This year at the 27th legislative session, the Wasilla Chamber of Commerce brought forth three priorities that had to do with the port through the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce that we advocated for and are continuing the conversation of all positive growth through conversations held at our weekly luncheon. We feel that the landscape of not only Wasilla but the borough is rapidly changing, and we need to have the opportunity for aggressive legislation and get those economic drivers out here to help grow and prosper business as we look for a brand that says that our doors are open, come out and join us, live, work, and prosper. So the Greater Wasilla Chamber of Commerce is supporting Serial Ordinance 12-073. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? You only get one shot, sir.
Could I speak to another resolution, Mayor?
No, you get 3 minutes. It's audience participation.
Okay.
You can combine elements in your 3 minutes, but you can't speak twice.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. If we started doing that, people would be up here half a dozen times. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and bring it back to the assembly. Madam Clerk, would you read what's left of the consent agenda?
Resolution Chair Number 12-058, a resolution setting the surcharge rate for the wireline and wireless enhanced 911 systems for the period of July 1st, 2012 through June 30th, 2013. Resolution Serial Number 12-062, a resolution approving the startup of the comprehensive planning process for the Bishop Community Council. Resolution Serial Number 12-066, a resolution approving the scope of work and budget in the amount of $325,000 for constructing and improving parking areas and trailheads for snowmobilers in the Houston and Hatcher Pass areas, Fund 440, Project Number 15032. AM Number 12-050, authorizing the manager to enter an agreement with the City of Palmer for the contract period of July 1st, 2012 to June 30th, 2013 in the amount of $265,357 for fire protection services. AM Number 12-051, authorizing the manager to enter into an agreement with the City of Palmer for the contract period of July 1st, 2012 to June 30th, 2013 in the amount of $36,000 for rescue services. AM Number 12-052, authorizing the manager to enter into an agreement with the City of Palmer for the contract period of July 1st, 2012 to June 30th, 2013 in the amount of $806,898 for 911 dispatch services. AM Number 12-067, authorizing the manager to enter into the 2012 cooperative agreement with the Alaska State Department of Natural Resources, Division of Forestry, in an amount not to exceed $200,000 through December 31st, 2012 for wildfire fuel reduction. AM Number 12-072, request to change Community Development Operations Manager permanent full-time position within the Community Development Department to a Recreation and Library Services Manager. AM Number 12-070073, authorization for the extension of contract number 04098 with North Star Group in an amount not to exceed $75,000 for federal lobbyist services. AM Number 12-074, approval of utility relocation costs to Manuska Telephone Association in an amount of $121,304.28 for the Windy Bottom Road Upgrade Project, project number 30047. AM Number 12-075, awarded bid number 12-145 to APS Alaska for the contract amount of $108,455 for fire alarm and security upgrades at various borough sites. AM Number 12-076, awarded bid number 12-115 to Triple B Contracting for the contract amount of $275,552 for Westlake Station 7-3 upgrades. AM Number 12-077, awarded bid number 12-135 to Marshall's Electric Incorporated for the contract amount of $867,421.87 for borough fire alarm replacement.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to consider the consent agenda as read to the record by the clerk. Approved. I consider approved.
Thank you. Could I ask one question? Would there be objection to me asking one question? On Resolution 12-066, the trailheads, and probably Assemblymember Colbert could speak to that. This certainly can't be connected to the study that Mr. Swanson just sent out a few days ago, can it?
No, the asset management plan is different. There's another report that he emailed to you. It's this year. It's
right.
Recommendations for constructing, improving parking areas and trailheads for snow machine exits, and there's copies here available if you want.
Right.
He emailed it out. The asset plan is still out for public comment, which is different.
Okay, well, I wanted to make sure of that because I haven't even had a chance to read that.
Right. This is the implementation of the money that we put in the budget. And then Mr. Swanson worked with the user groups and narrowed down the improvements. Zero Lake, Musher, Snow Machine, parking lot, and worked on a couple other sites.
Thank you.
That was the $350,000 you specifically put in the budget a year ago. And this money is now being used to do that trailhead. That's going to be a huge parking area.
Yeah, well, the two just almost overlapped. I wanted to make sure. More ahead of things.
Okay, the consent agenda is before you. Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes.
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Solomon?
Can I take a break?
We can. Let's make it 8:15 that we come back.
The 200 right-of-way acquisition plat remains 500. Variance to subdivision and development standards with regular plat changed from 400 to 250. The road inspection fee remains the same, 1% construction cost with a minimum of 500. And the appeals remains the same, as does the continuous remain the same. And that's pretty much it. Very wordy, but hopefully maybe I'll have a copy of this. And I guess Mr. Hulbert's going to speak to us.
Okay, Mr. Manager, speaking to the amendment, I guess. I'm always here to have any answer any questions.
Okay.
Just as a statement, I think the staff did a nice job laying out what we anticipated costs are, and we certainly understand your point on trying to encourage development. Our proposed fees did not cover our anticipated costs. I just want you to be aware of it. We want to make sure you have all the information you have to make this decision, whether you stick with this or you do the amendment. Okay, Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I support Mr. Solomon's primary motion, but I want to add a secondary amendment. Or is it the primary amendment?
Secondary.
On the second page, item 43.15.050, elimination of common lot lines on a recorded plat. I'd like to further reduce that to $75.
I didn't find your number.
054. Okay.
054. Okay. Where did you get the...
I'm sorry. I misread that.
Yeah. Okay.
Secondary to change that to $75?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any science behind that?
Well, I think it should be free. But I know that there are some incidental costs that government incurs on behalf of people removing lines, but I think we should get that down as low as possible.
Okay. Speaking to the secondary amendment, Assemblymember Keogh.
Speaking to this amendment, the secondary amendment, as well as others generally.
No, just the secondary amendment.
Right here. Very well. Speaking to the secondary amendment, I'll withdraw my comment. I'll save it until we get to the primary.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection to the secondary amendment?
Yeah, I think we should maybe, Mr. Mayor, assume a little bit longer.
You're objecting?
Maybe I would.
Okay. There is objections. Do you want to discuss it?
Yeah.
Yes. Assemblymember Colligan?
To the manager, Mr. Hulbert. So in the elimination of a common lot line at $300, what are the notification costs for mailing? What's required by the borough's action? Any part of it?
By the recently passed ordinance, Title 43, it requires that the public hearing notices to be mailed out to 1,200 feet from the property, all lots within the subdivision. And we take a look at some of these subdivisions, Caswell Lake subdivision, which has over 1,200 substandard lots. At the cost of mailing, each item is 45 cents and it's going up on a daily basis from our government. We have no control over that. So when they're faced with a $300 public noticing bill, it's really, really complicated to tell them this is what it's going to cost to eliminate your lot line. So that is one of the things that should have been brought up when Mr. Arvin was talking about it under the Title 43 amendment. And I am sorry that I didn't address it at that time. That was one of the things that would really reduce the cost on all public hearing noticing on that. So that's one of the things to remember when it comes up again.
Again, this is a fee and a mailing is additional?
This is just the application fee. Now, the postage and advertising, which you're talking about, is a separate fee. We have to notice it in the paper, and then we have to, according to our Alaska statute, notify all property owners that were
that did not sign the petition, and it is also expanded in Title 43 to noticing 1,200 feet residences within 1,200 feet, and in addition to that, all property owners of within the subdivision that this is a part of.
Again, those petitioners pay the fee and all of those costs.
That is correct.
Could be zero.
There's no such, can't handle a tertiary amendment. So the amendment on the floor is $75. Is there objection to that?
Objection.
There is objection, so put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Culver and Assemblymember Keough opposed.
Okay, Assemblymember Halter on the primary amendment.
I can ask Ms. Culver a question about the waiver subdivision, 40-acre exemption, $250 fee. Now that seems high to me. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay, now these are all non-public hearing fees. There's no staff write-up for those. They're all handled administrative, so it's going to cover the administrative costs, hopefully, on those issues. And these fees are, what you're talking about, the $250 are going back to previous Title 16 fees of probably 15 years ago.
They were $250 then.
Actually, if we go back into Wallstone Memory Lane, if we look on page 2, the previous ordinance that was created these fees, under page 276 of the ordinance, the resolution 2004, increased these fees to this standard. So prior to 2004, they were a lot less, which were almost comparable to the fees that the Assembly is adopting tonight, or the amendment that the Assembly is adopting tonight.
Assemblymember Culver?
Just for information, I believe the waivers used to be for Title 47 or 125 as the application.
Okay. Assemblymember Keough?
A question through the Mayor to Mr. Over the, perhaps better suited to the manager here. The manager notes that proposed fees do not cover the costs of these applications by a little bit, by a lot. Could you quantify it? Are we? I guess the question is, this can be seen as by reducing the fees, we're just increasing the. We're increasing the subsidy for permittees or developers, and it's just an estimate, please, on how short these fees fall.
Mr. Manager, and I believe there's some paperwork in here that kind of shows that. Number one, it's all really going to depend on how much handholding we have to do. You know, how prepared is the applicant coming in and how complete that is, you know, based on the staff time. I mean, we certainly have some overhead that we're not accounting for. Essentially, it's how much staff time that we involve to make sure we move this through the process. Today I think I've met with seven citizens on different issues, there's no charge for them to talk to me or spend my time trying to work for some issues. So I kind of view this as, the wishes of the Assembly trying to encourage development, housing development, and by reducing these fees, it encourages them to do that even more. Paul, how many subdivision plats have we done last year?
Depending on what the total subdivision, and unfortunately I do not have the statistics right in front of me, but it's probably about less than 75 subdivision preliminary plats that had road construction involved with that. There's virtually no waiver applications. Those were deemed to be non-productive in that. And there's some 40-acre exemption parcels that were created. So all in total, probably less than 80 platting actions.
I could certainly say that our fees do not cover our costs in the planning department. And whether you keep the fees at where they are, reduce them, it's still going to be the same fact. We're just going to be collecting less dollars for for those actions.
Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culver and then Assemblymember Song.
Yeah, this is on page 273, there's a packet that has an estimated cost for different functions, pre-application conference. And some of this stuff we took care of when we rewrote the code. This is prepared by the former planning director. A little to justify the permitting. But we took out the site visit with pictures and things like that. That's not going to happen anymore. But I think what this, Mr. Manager, what this opportunity, you know, it brings an opportunity to streamline how we review and do things. Currently, somebody comes in with a proposal, and then they go want to have a pre-application conference. All these pieces of paper are copied and brought around the building and compiled and then entered in the system. And it's, you know, an 18th century process in a 21st century. I would think we could scan the proposal off, send it off to everybody, have an online form, put your comments in there. We won't have people running paper around. You're at your desk, you have these four projects that have come in to look at. Just moving the paper around and then taking the paper results and then putting it in to the system is generating a lot of, productive endeavor. And I think we can use this as an opportunity to what do we have to do? When you look at this regional plot review with all three texts, and Department of Public Works, you know, you got three meetings and you got three people involved. You know, maybe it needs to be the one person. Maybe it doesn't need to be one. There's an opportunity maybe to kind of analyze how we do it, how we could more efficiently do it, and how we could work towards along the lines of Assemblymember Colligan's getting it. We're doing things online, we're doing the forms, those kinds of things. So. Perhaps we can have less handling of paper and less entering into the system manually and improve our productivity, and thus these fee reductions would be a wash of where we're at today.
Okay, speaking for the motion. Anybody else want to speak? Yeah, I'm sorry, Assemblymember Salmon.
Well, one of the purposes for this particular amendment, and I'm resistant to the term that we are attempting to subsidize these people. This is an additional fee for the citizenry to the property taxes that they're already paying for services that the borough should, in fact, provide to them. And so, Mr. Armour, I'm in favor of this being free. So if it can't be free, it's the constituency that's subsidizing us by giving us more money, more taxes. The term fee, license, or permit are fancy words for taxes, and that's what we're levying on the people here. So in fact, it costs the borough a little bit of money, not quite covering this. Well, I don't see a problem with passing the savings on. What's Chuck Lucharia do? He takes the other guy and passes the savings on to us, and that's what I think that I want to do here. I want to pass the savings on to the constituency. And that's exactly the point and intent of this. And it didn't come forward until 43 was complete, and now 43 is complete. And this seems fair and reasonable to me. And if it generates more subdividing activity, in the long run, what that does is generate more taxable parcels within the community to build more houses on it to get more taxes, and you see how that snowball effect rolls. But I don't think we're subsidizing developers by giving them a true value for the dollar that they're putting forward to create value to us. So I think that's the point that's lost. Developers create value and create more taxes. Thank you. So I'd like to vote on this, and I'm willing to live with the results up or down. Makes no difference.
So are you ambivalent?
No, I want to make it work, but I'm ready to vote. I don't, you know, I think everybody's decided. See, many times we get past the point where everybody's already decided, and some send them, we've got us, and we're all here for the duration, but maybe if I say one more word, maybe I'll change their minds. Well, I'm thinking that that's not going to happen here. That the vote is what the vote is, and if somebody disagrees, put in your final word, and I'll live with that. I'm good.
Okay. Are we ready to close the debate? I don't hear objection. Is there objection to the amendment?
Objection.
There is objection. So put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, it passes with Assemblymember Keogh opposed.
We're now ready for the main motion as amended. Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. Thank you.
Thank you,
thank you for the sermon, Assemblymember Song. We're now ready for Resolution 12-059.
A resolution revising the schedule of fees for the collection and disposal of solid waste. Sorry.
Assemblymember Cole.
I move Resolution Serial Number 12-059.
You want to speak to it?
Madam Public Works Director is available to give a quick briefing. I just wanted an update. If you remember last year, we were going through the budget. We noticed that lettings was getting bigger and bigger and bigger at the landfill. And I think Member Arvin wanted to do something about it. And this is the second year of this. And so, if you had any information, it would be very germane.
Have the floor.
Well, oh no. Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I'm Sean O'Neill, Director of Public Works, and with respect to the debt at the landfill and how it relates to the rate increases, last year you folks authorized a 20% rate increase, and that slowed our debt crawl, the amount that we were going into debt, by $1.9 million. We're proposing another 20% increase in accordance to the plan that we proposed last year, and that will reduce our debt increase by another $1.5 million this year. It's projected that in 2015 we'll institute our last increase and we'll recognize a absence of debt in 2016. So we're right on schedule with what we proposed. I'm not wording it very well, but we're getting where we want to go. If you want specific numbers, I can throw them out at you, but I'm not being very eloquent tonight.
So yeah, the question was, did how much of our achieved or intended goal did we achieve with the 20% raise last year? We're near the end of the fiscal year, so must have some idea.
We decreased our debt by almost $2 million, or by $1.5 million, and we increased it by almost $2 million, but that was a reduction in the rate of increase by $1.6 million, $1.58. So it's kind of, We're still going into debt, but we're going into debt at a lower rate. But when we institute the next rate increase, then that will put us closer to not being in debt anymore. And so we have to go through with the whole series of rate increases in order to get out of debt. But we are slowing the rate we're going into debt so that in 4 years we will no longer go into debt. We'll be out of debt.
Assemblymember Arvin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So 2 years ago, when we had the discussion about slowing the rate of debt increasing,
The plan was pretty ambitious. We talked about increases that were significant to shorten that window, and we talked about a three-year window to accomplish the goal.
Right.
It was a huge impact on the user. So we had a long discussion about pacing that out over a six-year period, and I'm happy to hear that we're on track.
We are. We're looking at 4 years being out of debt at the rate we're going right now. If we do the increase this year and the proposed increase next year, and then the 2015 increase will be the last one, and then we'll be out of debt. Thank you.
Okay. Assemblymember Culligan.
Just a question. Are we doing anything to reduce our costs, manage our assets, or increase recycling metals, et cetera, that we actually generate revenue from there? I'm also concerned about that kind of payment. We take a lot of cash in, only cash, at those places, and it's frustrating. You can take a credit card and garage sale the right way.
I can't answer the credit card answer. We are trying to maximize revenues. The waste stream that we generate is not particularly valuable. What we do recycle metal. We divert as much as possible to the Valley Recycling Center, which doesn't generate us any revenue, but it does reduce our waste stream. And so, in theory, our costs will diminish as our waste stream becomes significantly smaller.
At what point do our waste belts start generating natural gas that doesn't use our quantity?
Boy, that's going to be a while away in this climate because of the temperatures. We do generate some methane, but in very minuscule quantities, nothing to the scale that we could actually collect it and utilize it even for power generation on the site. It's just, we're just too cold and we just don't generate enough methane.
I just asked that because I know that Anchorage, at their landfill, is generating gas with NANUS, the military, to subsidize. It's not a significant difference to size. Thanks.
Assemblymember Colbert, followed by Assemblymember Woods. Okay, Assemblymember Woods. No. We ready for the question? Is there objection? Hearing none. Passes. Thank you, Ms. O'Neill. Next is Resolution 12-060.
A resolution requesting that the Alaska State Department of Health and Social Services expand the preliminary draft Wishbone Hill Rapid Health Impact Assessment into a comprehensive health impact assessment.
Okay, Assemblymember Arvin.
I move to adopt resolution serial number 12-060.
You want to speak to it?
Actually, I will defer to Mr. Keogh.
Okay.
Well, I don't have any prepared comments. I think if you read the informational memo and the resolution, it pretty much speaks for itself. And if you had the opportunity to read the rapid health impact assessment, this draft report that's cited in the informational memo, it's about 140 pages long. It's a good education. I think the comments that we had this evening were extraordinarily eloquent by a variety of folks, local residents, an academic, physicians, health professionals, and I think they described some of the common concerns and the nuts and bolts of what a health impact assessment is. I would want to address a couple of items posited by the Matsu Business Alliance, and that is I did receive the correspondence by Kay Slack as an officer of that association. I responded to those earlier today. But I think the statement was made that it's somehow premature to comment on this draft rapid health impact assessment. But this is, in fact, the most appropriate time to comment. The public comment period is now open, and this is an opportunity for us as a local government body to weigh in with our public comment. There was one other item that she raised. Timing-wise, process-wise, this is the appropriate time to do that. And I guess what I wanted to do kind of simply was to talk about the differences in the health impact assessment. There's basically three kinds, but the two that are on the table here is the rapid one, which is underway, versus the more larger comprehensive one, which is called for by this resolution. And maybe if I could try to explain it in a simple way, and I'll stop what I'm saying here for a second and interrupt too. I am a former health professional. I was a registered nurse for a long time, and I was also a mobile intensive care physician. So I have maybe a different perspective as a health professional in my past too, including a lot of coursework in through the Center for Disease Control, a lot of public health classes in ancient history. But if I could maybe show the difference or demonstrate the difference between what a rapid health assessment is and a more comprehensive one, is if, for example, you go to a physician for an exam, and the physician, and you have, you want to know the condition of your lungs, what's your status of your lungs. So the physician puts on a stethoscope and he listens to your lung sounds, and he says, okay, this sounds clear, and this is maybe you have a little an abnormal lung sound on your other lung. And so based on that simple exam, which would be the equivalent of a rapid health assessment for the purposes of this analogy, the physician can make some kind of a diagnosis. Well, it could be this, it could be that. But if you're the patient, and for the same cost, you can get a comprehensive health impact, or you can get the equivalent of a comprehensive HIA, or a more definitive exam. They can take a chest x-ray. They can take you have a chest film for the physician to look at your lungs. And they may take some blood work, so you can further identify what kind of health problems you may have or you may not have. And with these extra this extra information, which would be the equivalent of data gaps, these key data gaps that are missing in the HIA, you can better assess the health, what's the positive parts of your health and the negative parts of your health in this simple exam. So maybe that's a pretty simplistic analogy. But fundamentally, when you do the comprehensive health impact assessment, you get better, more thorough, more complete information. Same as you would in a doctor's office with a simple listening through your chest wall with a stethoscope versus that, plus a chest film, plus blood work, plus extra. In this case, the health impact assessment is there's no cost to the borough. This, if it even were to happen, if the Department of Health and Human Services were to expand the program, would be a cost that would be picked up by that state department. I guess that's my. I'll leave my comment at that at this moment.
Assemblyman Colligan,
yes, I'll jump in. I appreciate everybody coming to comment. I also got quite a few emails from bankers and other investors and all sorts of folks as well that were against this. And I personally believe in the process and respect the process and like to see the process go along. As you said, the comment period is still open. I would encourage people to comment. I'd have encouraged other people for or against the comment. But I'm not real jumping up and down to build a soapbox for either side at the moment, but I do want to support the process. And just kind of move on. With that, I made my comment. I'll be voting against it. Thanks.
Member Woods.
My understanding is that as the permitting process goes on with the mine, like some of these items will be part of the plan, and the health assessment as directed by the state will be considered in the plan. And I guess my thinking is that the plan is open, this particular plan or option is open, and the state will decide if it's applicable and require the feasibility plan to include the part that they think is important. I'm not capable of making that judgment. I have high regard for Usability's lack of health issues in their mining, and they do thousands of tons up there, and the fellows that I went to school with and their kids and their grandchildren are still grandchildren are working up there at the mine, and feel that this is a very good place, and they live as close as anybody else to the mine up there. I'm beginning to feel that there's things left out in some of the testimony, and for now I think the process should continue. Thank you.
Mayor. Senator Member Halter.
Yeah. I think I feel like I want to say something on this issue. I've supported Usability and the Wishbone. I think I voted for your resolution, Mr. Mayor. I voted for the road lease. I think just comprehensive impact assessment is warranted in this case. It doesn't seem like it's going to detract from the mine. It doesn't seem like it's going to slow the mine. It just seems like it's going to be something, this is a little bit more of a populated area than I think Healy is, and where their mine is situated up there across the river. I can't see it's not a good idea for the Assembly to tell, to. First of all, we're not telling anybody anything. We're asking them to consider that, to go from a rapid assessment to a more comprehensive one. I guess it's still their decision, but I think it's good for us to do something like that, considering it is the citizens of the Mattsu Borough. It is their health. There's a lot of people close in the area. I used to own a cabin in Sutton years ago as a public defender and lived in Sutton. I was out in the Buffalo Mine area. I know that's closer, but I'm quite familiar with that area. And I think if I was living out there now and it is growing in numbers and things like that, I think I'd certainly want to have, I think Warren summed up quite eloquently what he was talking about, the differences in like a chest x-ray and more information you want. And I really don't think it's going to detract Usability's ability to run their operation at all. It'll give us a better idea of what we should do in mitigation and things like that. So I'm going to support this resolution.
Anybody else? Assemblymember Keogh.
Well, one last comment. I guess maybe it's worth reiterating here that this health impact assessment, whether it's rapid or comprehensive, has no legal teeth. If Usability right now cannot operate the mine, they're not appropriately permitted. They're in the process of attempting to acquire those permits. My understanding is that those permits will not likely be acquired anytime soon. The likelihood of any surface coal mining operation at Wishbone Hill this summer, or perhaps even this fall or longer, is relatively small. So one of the arguments that have been made is that there's actually the reason this was perhaps whether a rapid health impact assessment than a comprehensive one was. A year or so ago when this was initiated, it was because it was the expectation that the mine would soon be underway. That's not the case. But the point I'm trying to make, I think, here, though, a different point is that the health impact assessment in no way affects the two outstanding applications that Usability has, one with the Department of Environmental Conservation for an air permit, and the other, the disputed surface mining application through the Department of Natural Resources. So one way to look at this, or one way to see it, or to understand, is that the health impact assessment, whether it's draft form, whether it's rapid, whether it's comprehensive, in no way really affects the permit process or the mining operation. The one thing that it does do is it makes resident citizens, the public, aware of the potential impacts, both positive and negative. And if you read the report, there is a long list of positive impacts. First and foremost amongst those is job creation and the value and the significance of income generated by new jobs. So that's part of this public health holistic assessment of the impacts, positive ones like that versus negative ones like potential groundwater contamination or other things. So actually I'm a little bit surprised by the response or the reaction that this has this simple resolution is caused. Nonetheless, so I'll finish my comments with that, and I hope that the assembly will help the citizens of the borough better understand the impacts of a coal mine development in the Matanuska Valley.
We ready for the question? I guess so. Put it on the board. I've heard objection.
Mr. Mayor, it has failed with Assembly Members Culver, Keough, and Halter in support.
Thank you.
What's that?
I can't veto that, but I was going to ask Mr. Keough, and maybe later you could address it, because the logic on this could be applied to a number of other industries, including farming in the valley, and I don't see any reason why anybody that's working in dirt or possible water shouldn't eventually be facing the same thing. It makes me a little nervous. And only the farmers making stuff people eat. Nobody's eating coal. What's that? Okay, we're ready. Thank you, Assemblymember Solomon. Keep us going.
Resolution Serial Number 12-061, a resolution revising the emergency services fee schedule for ambulance services effective July 1st, 2012.
Okay, Assemblymember Colbert.
I move Resolution Serial Number 12-061. I'm against raising fees. I mean, this every year for the last 10 years. You know, there's people who don't have insurance, and they have to go to the hospital, and, you know, they get these huge bills. I think it's quite little in our means 1 year without having to come back and raise the fee. I mean, I almost guarantee you they've raised every year for probably 10 years. So I'm just going to say no this time.
To the number what you had a
they get these bills and they don't pay them, so because everything is free when they go to the emergency room, they don't pay those bills either. But I don't think that's the point here. The costs keep going up. The equipment required to offer good service gets to be more and more expensive and more demanded by health services. I think these fees are reasonable considering the results that we get from these services. And yes, it's true, it's more expensive. And people without insurance are without insurance. But the like all of us who have insurance, we pay for the people without insurance. That's a given in health industry. The hospital over here indicated in their report the other day, just in their emergency office fees, they donate to those without insurance about $20 million a year. So the fact that they're still there and seem to be happy indicates that our insurance pays very well indeed. I think these fees are quite reasonable. Thank you.
Assemblymember Collins.
Through the mayor and manager to the EMS director. Do you have any comments about this? I'm just kind of curious what the fees are versus our cost increases versus fuel increases. And Patrick, I'm talking to these numbers that you're sitting here.
And you bet, through the mayor to Assembly Member Colligan. Yeah, basically, I acknowledge it's a policy decision by this body in terms of whether we charge fees or to what level. This fee increase represents a 52% offset of our operating and capital budget. So the fees are paying 52% of EMS. Taxpayers are paying 48%. When we talk about insurance, we have a pretty high insurance payment. We have an 82% collection rate. The gross amount that we bill is reduced by contractual allowable for Medicare and Medicaid and also bad debt, people that just can't pay their bills. 82% collection rate is a very, very good collection rate, which tells me that we have a high number of people who have insurance. But keep in mind that to what degree and extent do we want the general population to subsidize the visitors that come here that aren't taxpayers that are traveling through, that use the services, et cetera, et cetera. So what we've tried to do is we've tried to keep this balance at about a 50-50 split. It changes from year to year by a couple of percentage points, but we've tried to keep it so that the taxpayers are supporting the system 50% and fee-for-service is supporting it 50%. And like I said, we're right at about 52% at this point in time.
Does any of this have anything to do with our recent raise to the EMS responders?
There certainly we anticipate that we're going to have about $400,000 in additional revenue as compared to last year as a result of the increase. Again, that revenue comes in and goes back into general fund, but it's totally independent. That's not taken into consideration when we do this. What we basically do is we take the medical services, the medical supplies, and the transportation CPI, and do a blending of those three and come up with a percentage increase for the rate increase each year. And yes, we do try to keep it increasing every year so that we don't fall behind the previous year. Every year that we don't raise our rates, we're just making that less money for the services that we provide. So that's the formula, if you will, that we use, and that's the rate.
Manager, just a couple points. The 2012 budget, the one we just finished up, did not include a rate increase, but we did add six new paramedics that we're paying for. This rate increase was planned in the 2013 budget before the Assembly approved the $3 an hour increase. So that's something we'll have to look to next year. And as a personal note, I used to be on the board of directors of a private ambulance service in Minnesota. And I, you know, being back there last week, you know, things cost more here. Our cost for basic life support was $2,800, in advance was $4,500 for every trip. And so based on here, this is an increase, but it is a whole heck of a lot cheaper than we were charging in Chisago County in Minnesota.
Okay, Assemblymember Culligan.
I just want to, through the mayor to the manager and Mr. Brogdon, so my key question is, was this in the budget? What was the impact in the budget? What is this in an increase in revenue on top of the budget we just passed?
So it's about with the budget that was just passed, this was built into the budget that was just passed. So I mean we were anticipating revenues of approximately $3.4 million net revenues, not gross, but actual monies collected to contribute to emergency medical services.
Member Culver.
Well, if, you know, however you break it down, we shouldn't be, you know, financing ambulance acquisition on the trips. Do we use volunteers? Do we look at the overhead associated with medical supplies, fuel, maintenance, and upkeep?
traditionally and historically, purchase of the ambulances has been through capital budget or a legislative grant. And so that's the first I've ever heard that we have a percentage of the whole cost capital of the acquisition of the ambulances and the service. So we really can't think of it that way. We have to think of what it costs for operations, because this is an operating budget, and separate out the numbers for the capital. So I would think that would be quite a bit different than the percentage stated. If we're not rolling in the capital acquisition cost, that would be pretty high. You know, I don't know how legal it is, but yeah, I've heard that a lot of times. All the non-residents, not the out-of-towners, the vacationers. But it's the way we operate this EMS system. We should be all area-wide, and we've got these districts quite haven't figured out how to reclaim enough revenue from the services provided seasonally this time of year. That's still a problem, Mr. Manager. That needs to be addressed. And but you know, I'm sensitive to the senior citizens who just have to get an ambulance ride short ways and whatnot. I don't want to hit them with a rate increase every year just because we can.
Okay. Are we ready to close debate? Please put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, it passed with Assemblymember Culver and Assemblymember Kohler have been opposed.
Okay. Ready for AM 12-071.
Authorizing the Borough Manager to amend the existing agreement with the Manitoba Convention and Visitors Bureau for an amount of $650,000 to extend to June 30th, 2013.
Member Halter.
Yes, I'll move number 12-071, and I want to make an amendment that I guess is an annual amendment. It's needed. I want this to come in at the end of the recommendation of administration, and the following should be added. Plus 65% of the transit accommodation tax collected in excess of $1 million. We don't, because right now the $650,000 is based on $1 million. If we go over that, if we continue that, if we go underneath that, it'll be 65-35. That's our split. And I'm hoping in the future, Mr. Moosey, we could have this drafted so that we wouldn't make this annual minimum.
So
we don't know what the tax is going to be yet.
Your intent is to change the formula after it gets over a million.
Okay, 65-35, it's just that if you go over a million, they'll still receive part of that.
Oh, really? Okay.
We don't know what the tax will be. But I think this wording is based on $1 million. $650,000 would be 65% of $1 million. The other 35% goes to the...
Okay. I think our budget called for it to go over $1 million this year.
That's the projection.
Yeah.
We're hoping that'd be good news.
Mm-hmm. Member Woods?
Why is this number firm and not a percentage rate?
It's based on a 65-35% allocation.
Yeah, well,
in the original document is based on $1 million, so $650,000.
I think this evolved because originally it was in steps and the percentages changed. It could be that our attorney could give us a little more streamlined language next time.
Or a 3-year contract or a 3-year company, you know, just that.
Yeah. But I saw a hand somewhere. Assemblymember Cullion.
I just want to take the opportunity to the manager to see if Ms. Clayton would come forward and clarify that for us.
Yeah. Body close here, too, Mr. Matt.
Budget was.
Mr. Through the Mayor to Assemblymember Culligan, in the budget, the revenues were estimated at $1 million, and the Assembly approved an allocation to MFCVB of $65,000, so
65%.
$650,000, yeah.
Was there also in that budget
No, that was not in the budget, and that would be the amendment that Mr. Halter is proposing.
Okay, so if we pass the amendment that Mr. Halter
Clayton, is there a reason why we couldn't just make it 65% next year instead of a hard number?
Certainly. We could basically just write the legislation that's before you in the matter in which Mr. Holter's amending it.
So we have the amendment before us. Oh, Assemblymember Arbor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So to the maker of the amendment, what if it's, I support this, but what if it's 800,000?
Then you get 65%.
65%. Okay.
That's my understanding.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I'm ready to vote.
It was under $1 million. Last year wasn't this low, I think.
The way I read this, I'm not sure I would agree. If it's 800,000, it couldn't be. Yeah, you would still take your 650,000.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what the assembly approved in the budget.
Is it clear that this amendment makes it 65% straight through?
No, this amendment makes it 65, adds an additional amount if the collections go over $1 million.
Okay, well, Assemblymember Arvin is speaking.
Yeah, so with all due respect, Mr. Mayor, to Mr. Halter, if it is 800,000, it's not 65% of 800,000, it's still 650,000.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I, however, didn't.
But technically, I think it's always been supposed to have been 65-35, correct?
It's. There was a time when it was 65-35 for the first million or whatever it was, and then when it went over that amount, they were to receive 90%.
We were to receive 90%.
No. No, they were.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it was the other way around originally, and Bonnie agrees.
It was 90%.
To the borough.
350, and then it was
50-50. Okay, but that's completely different. That's completely different than 65-35.
It started out that way, but it could be there were some changes along the way. Oh, Cindy was here, yeah. Okay. So, is everybody happy with the amendment? The amendment is to ensure that anything over $1 million stays at 65% or the MSCBB. Is that right, Mr. Halter?
That's correct.
How about an amount under a million? Is it, since it would still be, if it was only 700,000, this way it's still 650,000.
If they only get 300,000, they will get 650,000 the way it's written.
That's right. So he's got to amend it to 65%. Is that right? Mr. Mayor, that speaks not to the amendment, sir. The amendment's over $1 million, 65-35.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay.
Period. Mr. Wood's point can be brought back after the amendment's approved or disapproved.
Or you could amend the amendment to apply across. That's what I'm waiting for.
I'm not opposed to a better drafted document next year. To clarify, is this a maybe a 3-year term? You know, I would. I think
okay.
And that's the CBD and the
on the amendment addressing over $1 million. Is there objection? I don't hear any. The main motion. Further discussion. Is there objection? Thank you. We have finished the consent agenda. It will be noted that our consent agenda is a major part of our time. We're ready for the introductions, Madam Clerk.
This is for introduction for public hearing on June 28th. Ordinance serial number 12-071, ordinance serial number 12-072 with accompanying resolution 12-065. Ordinance serial number 12-073 with accompanying resolution 12-064. Ordinance serial number 12-074 with accompanying ordinance 12-075. Ordinance serial number 12-076.
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, I move to introduce legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set for public hearing for June 28, 2012.
Assemblymember Culligan.
I wonder if it's appropriate time. I was on ordinance 12-076, ordinance repealing the December 31st act, effective January 1,
2013. I would like to either introduce but move it to a date certain, farther down than 28. And
let's divide the question. Is there objection to dividing the question on 12-076? Hearing none, we have before us the other four introductions. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Bringing it now before us, ordinance 12-076. You want to move that, please?
And I introduced this just because I wanted to have a discussion that we had a lengthy debate over inventory tax through the budget process, and it takes the same level of effort as that tax for small business at $1, it does $1 million. The fact that we only got 152 reports out of 5,200 business licenses is not right. Everybody should be filing a zero report.
We should be speaking to an introduction.
So for introduction, I would like to set it for sometime in August so that we have a time to review what we have to come up with in the inventories generated, construction projects for next year.
Let's suggest August 21st. So this is for introduction August 21st. Is there objection to that?
Introduction.
So there's no objection that taken care of. Other new business. Assemblymember Arvin. This is ordinance
12-058.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Let's get right over it. Mr. Mayor,
I move to approve your recommendations and resignations up for confirmation this evening as follows. Board of Adjustment and Appeals, H. Paul Campbell. Emergency Medical Services Board, resignation of Joseph Kiern. Library Board, resignation of Pam Ockerlander. Planning Board, J. Van Deest.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. Passes. Moving on. Please read the motion into the record, please.
This is under a motion to amend something previously adopted. Ordinance serial number 12-058, amendments amending and repealing portions of MSB 3.15 relating to the business inventory tax.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Deputy Mayor.
I move to amend ordinance serial number 12-058, which was previously adopted on May 15, 2012, by striking the effective date in section 3 of July 1 and inserting in its place January 1 on page 530 of the packet and page 2 of the ordinance, and speak to it briefly, and then I'll turn it over to the attorney. State assessor has issues with when the effective date is. So this is a house cleaning effort that was requested at different legal department. I'll let Nick make clarification.
Mr. Attorney.
Given these clarifications, rather than getting an argument with the state assessor, we told him we'd bring it back to change the date to make it clear to him and to everybody that it applies to this coming fiscal year, the tax bills that are getting mailed in July 1.
Right.
We disagree with him a little bit, but this is the easiest way to resolve it.
No, we want to keep him happy. Yep.
Another question.
Okay. Is there objection to closing debate? Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, it passes.
Thank you.
We have then before us comments. Mr. Manager.
Well, thank you.
And Mr. Attorney. And Clerk. Wow. Assemblymember Culver.
Doesn't seem late, but it feels late. We've had a lot of talk and little action on job costing. How much staff time is spent on a certain project? We put money in the capital budget for right-of-way acquisition, these kinds of things, and our taxpayers end up picking it up as overhead on their tax bill because we're not costing out what we're buying land for right-of-way, what we're doing associated with the pot of money that is coming from, whether it be the road bond, the school bond. And so, therefore, I move to direct the manager to implement job costing for staff work and professional contracts on all capital projects. I'll give Lonnie my scraps here. The intent being is to be able to charge off those projects and those capital projects with the work done on them so that we're not building up a bigger operating budget to support all these $250 million of capital projects now working through our system. And we're going to have very little room to maneuver in that capital budget in the time we start job costing. And had to have an accountable method that staff time on those projects and the professional contracts that we engage in, the borough engages in to support those projects that are costed out. And I'll leave it up to you guys to...
Are you talking about just the project manager's time?
Or building. Anybody in the building that's working, you know, we should have... The manager can sit down with his staff to figure out how to do that. We certainly could do it through an online reporting of time. But we don't need specific project work to be counted as an overhead item. And when you're in the business community, if you're working on a project for the client, keep track of it, turning that time, that becomes a billable hour. And so we should try to build the project because if we have the funds to support those projects. I just want to make sure that we're not just building it into overhead.
Would this be over and above the percentage we take on those projects?
The percentages taken are audit fees for auditing the project. That's admin and audit, not specific tax related.
This is over and above?
Yeah, this is related to actual work being done or contract issue, not the audit fee. I'll turn it over to Steve. He might elaborate on that. No. I would like to give some of my time to Mr. Culligan on my issue because I know that he has shown an interest in that, and perhaps, you know, with his technology's prowess, that perhaps he can lead us in the right direction to efficiently accomplish that goal.
Addressing Mr. Culver's many issues regarding this, and I this is one of the reasons I'd like to have an offsite. One of my goals for this year from the assembly to the manager is to initiate some kind of job costing time cards for everyone. I can't imagine as an organization, we have supervisors, et cetera, but we don't have time cards filled out. And whether you're both billable or non-billable, I know my business, in fact, how much time somebody has put in billable to justify their existence in life at an organization. But the reality is even for a government entity, how much time you spend toward a certain capital project, inventory or research and development or internal stuff, or we're charging back time like in IT from one department to another, how much time does it really take to go install a computer, etc. As far as I know, we don't really keep track of any of that, and that was one of my goals for this year, is at least start that, whether it's manual or whether it's automated. There's systems freely available. We don't need complicated systems. I know in our organization we have a database and web stuff of employees and contractors enter it online, and that's what we use for billing, that's what we use for calculating overhead. Same thing like whether it's job cost bill or not. But that was one of my goals, and whenever it's my turn to my comment last.
Well, we have a motion on the table, so Assemblymember Solomon.
seems to me like a pretty big ticket item to come up at the 11th hour at the end of the meeting tonight. I think it should have been put on the agenda and brought forward separately. And so the way that it was brought forward, even though it may be valid, I intend to vote no.
Well, you could postpone it.
What's that, sir?
You could postpone it so it would get public notice.
I'm just going to vote no.
Okay.
I don't like the way it was done.
I've got a question for the experts. What does this add to the cost of doing business? There's got to be some research on that.
The reality is I don't know how any organization functions, period, without some kind of a time card system and tracking leave, tracking everything. And I think if we want to evolve as an organization, it's something that needs to happen. I disagree at one point, you know, that this is the inappropriate time. This is the time in the meeting for us to give the manager direction. But again, I this is something I'd like to have discussed at our offsite as a goal for organization to figure this out. And, you know, the intent is not to do everything at once, but there's certain parts of our organization, like Jim has identified, the public works that deals with capital projects, IT, that, you know, they're customer driven. Somebody is a customer every minute of the day. But we're allocating in our budget half time for this person, half time for that person, makes up this full time position. And, you know, we really don't know. It's an allocation that never really gets monitored. So.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. Are we ready for the question? Put it on the board.
Mr. Mayor, it has passed with Assemblymember Salmon, Assemblymember Keogh, and Assemblymember Halter opposed.
Rare combination. Rare combination. All right, Assemblymember Colbert, that's it?
Yeah, I don't think we expect miracles overnight, Mr. Manager. I think we'll start the ball rolling in the right direction.
Assemblymember Salmon?
No,
no comments?
I want to make a motion.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. I just want to dream it up right now. No comment. Thank you, sir.
Okay. That was a comment.
Yeah.
Assemblymember Colligan, let's give our peers due attention.
Point of information, do we need to extend the meeting since we're going to executive session?
No, we still have a big thing to do. Yeah, and before we go into executive session, would you do that, please?
So, we'll extend it till 10:30.
I'm 10:30. I'm 9:30. 9:45. No, you know, I would say let's just go ahead and extend it to 11.
No, oh, please.
Not to exceed. Yeah.
Okay. We can leave sooner than 11. Correct.
I'll make a motion that we up until 11 o'clock. Try to get out of here.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is there objection? Mr. Ewing's not here, so no objection.
Should we run?
Some of them are Colliver.
It is getting late for forward.
So, you know, again, I wasn't going to comment, but to the manager, you did send out a list of priorities for us to consider that were last year's priorities. My question was, When are we scheduling? Are we scheduling an offsite to consider those?
Okay, go ahead.
I would like to, but it seemed like there is no synergy on when we do this through the summer. So, and I would like to really kind of do this sooner, but I. You know, the comments were, this wasn't work, this wouldn't work, this wouldn't work. And so I really don't know what my recommendation would be, other than I want to make sure that between the election season and the beginning of the year, we go and we really examine and change those goals or add to those goals so we can use it right into our budget process. Because I'd really like to tie assembly goals to the budget. And be in unison on that. But there's, you know, I mean, that's 7 months in between that actually happening.
Yes, my comment to the body as a whole is I think it's important for us to have this meeting sooner than later. We are heading into federal end of year budget, and then we're starting with the governor's budget for next year. And to not start planning out our projects, priorities, and direction, especially start talking to the governor's office, who has to have a budget out before December. Those decisions and those departments are already making their budgets starting October, November, and they're already pretty much done. Their governor's OMB is cutting those in November to prepare for December publishing. So, you know, like I said, I've gone through that list and added all my comments. I'm ready to launch those at you as far as priorities. But as an organization, I think we need to set some priorities for capital projects and make that happen. And, I'd like to see it happen this summer, if not no later than the end of August, preferably before then.
Right now, we're talking September, but I'm wondering, do you think we could accomplish this if we started at noon on the 28th? We have an assembly meeting on the 28th.
This is the thing I don't think they're going to take, you know, to have a bunch of big formality. I think we just need to have a business discussion, and if we could circulate some information, the manager who started that with last year's priorities, get comments in advance, and be over and done with this and several, 2 or 3 hours, and maybe extend it to August if we had to. But I think when we start the new budget here, it would be good for the manager and our organization to move ahead.
Well, is there any reason why we couldn't do this on the 28th? Assemblymember Arlen.
Yeah, I think with the federal fiscal year ending in September, I think that it's appropriate that we do this in the middle of August.
If the end of the budget year is in September, ain't asking for or talking to them.
Member Kale.
We had this identical discussion during the March period of this past meeting, and we made a decision, and through the mayor to the clerk, what date did we arrive? We just put it off till late summer, or was there a specific date?
From my understanding from the last discussion, I was going to bring it back to you in August to schedule the meeting in September.
Are we going to change that? I guess not. Is that all your comments?
I'll be obnoxiously pushing my stuff independently and through the clerk, get that to you so we can move ahead on a few capital projects. So otherwise,
keep doing it with motions under assembly comments.
That's perfect.
It seems to work.
Assembly Member Woods.
I attended the meeting that they had last night. FEMA is trying to do a brand new situation that they claimed that they were authorized to do in 1984, and that's shortstop any potential industry that would affect a clear water supply, and they're using that, planning to use that against people. Fine. I was very interested to see that the discussion was quite agitated on both sides, and as far as I was concerned, FEMA was correctly charged with instigating something on a trial and error basis up here, because we really didn't have much call back there in D.C. And and I think that was correct. As we listened to all the people and watch the preference given to the anti-pebble mine people, why I was really discouraged with the effect that the current administration has on consideration for development, and especially where this is a mine of 100 years or more. They have proved 100-year mine installation there, and the people that are immediately in the way of any mine activity, such as roads to the coast over here by Ileana, things, we're all for it. They said our communities are losing people, and because they lose people, that schools don't have enough kids to operate, so schools are shutting down. They say we desperately need something to go on out here. As far as I could tell, all of this just washed over like a cloud and cloudy day. It really was discouraging. Good arguments on both sides, and the reaction, I sat right next to some of the people that were FEMA people, and I was disappointed. So anyway, my conclusion is that it was not a successful operation on their part, because they went down to Seattle to take comments and then came back up here afterwards. So it showed that they weren't really interested in our opinions.
Are you talking about FEMA or EPA?
FEMA.
FEMA.
Was it Pebble here in Virginia?
Yes. On the Clearwater Act.
Okay. Assemblymember Keogh.
Okay.
Member Hall, yes, I got three things. Road service area contracts. Mr. Moosey, I'd like to have every assemblyman a copy of that new contract so we at least see it. I'd like to still have some sort of review by the assembly on that contract, because that was kind of the deal. And I realize that they're already left for bid or something. And also, the road service area board in Talkeetna and the Talkeetna Community Council are still concerned about that Seward Meridian Christensen Lake Road trade-off, or that whole trade-off. They emailed me and I passed on to you and I think Sean O'Neill, but they want to know who's going to pay for that. Besides them. Because they didn't get any decision-making chance in it. And I'd like on the road bonds, I'd like a roll-off plan from Mr. Schwartz on the roads and how we're going to do that to engine. I know we've had some discussion on it. Get us updated rollout plan, time schedule on the projects, where they're going to go. Some are to be engineered this year, bid this next spring, to be constructed next summer, and I'll get a schedule on that for everybody so we start. Because I get a lot of questions about that, when they're going to go and I'm hearing a lot of different information being passed out to borough staff, so I'd like to get that detailed.
Mr. Mayor, I was wrong. It was EPA. Excuse me.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
And I guess from there, I'm hoping we get that Talkeetna Sewer Water Board for the two appointments next to me, right?
Mm-hmm. What was that again?
Talkeetna Sewer Water Board vacancies.
Uh-huh. Right, as soon as I get some application. Yeah, I think I started that.
I think there's two.
But I can only jump one space at a time. Assemblymember Arvin.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I appreciate the body moving forward on that Jim Creek View plan, and including some motorized issues there. I think that's going to be good for the broader community. And regarding the ferry, I really would like to see a cost analysis of bringing that thing up here and putting it on the beach. And as that compares to leaving it in Ketchikan and those idle monthly costs, I'm sure, can be reduced if it were sitting on land up here, and maybe incite is the right word, incite some interest by others that can help effectuate some of the things that we need to get that thing in operation, if that's what we intend to do. And that's it.
Okay. Well, everybody that's unhappy with me has an open invitation to dump me at 1 o'clock on Saturday over here in the library. Colony Days. Actually, Mr. Manager, they had a vacancy and they're looking for another administrative person to put in there.
It's going to be out of town, aren't
you? No, I'm gonna delegate that to Don Moore.
Okay.
He's not smiling.
But he was.
Um, I'm going to be bringing forward a resolution relating to the preservation of some of our best farmland when it comes to public use and specifically school site selection the next meeting. We got the farmers in the Springer Loop system going by mailing out notices asking if they would sell or willing to sell land for a school site. And it was pointed out, I think you all probably got copies, there's a vast difference even between the east side and the west side of the Glen Highway when it comes to soils and soil depth and the agricultural potential. And I think where possible, we should, as a policy, look for avoiding lands that have that potential. So you guys can do what you like with it, but that's coming. We did manage to get the Kibata issue on the AML agenda in Bethel in August, so we'll be getting a report and hopefully Mr. Manager, we need a resolution for them to vote up or down that we can use in the next legislative session.
Can I ask resolution for what?
A resolution supporting the Kibata project. And let's see. I would still like a clear answer, but when we create a historic inventory, nobody has told me that that doesn't automatically put those sites in a status which creates and triggers all the legislation that comes up. I've read the document, and the more I read it, the more concerned I got about that. And I also did not find any definition of what we call history. Most people from Europe that come here are really amused at what we call history. And, you know, to crank our future around over stuff that happened in the backwoods, I certainly am sympathetic to the indigenous roots and those pieces of history, but I think the rest of it's just waiting for improvement myself.
Mr. Mayor, how would your land use soil preservation, farm preservation, be any different than historic preservation?
Well, that's my question. When I see almost 200 homesteads in the Willow area on a list of historic monuments or sites, and then I read the state regulation that says to make any modification to those, you've got to give 60 to 90 day notice. We're setting them up for that by putting them on this list, the way I read it, and I need to be educated out of that if it's not true. I think that's all I've got tonight, and we're not done because we do have an executive session.
Should I take a break before?
Why don't we make the motion? Make the motion. We'll take our break on the way into executive session.
Mr. Mayor, I move to enter executive session for the matters the immediate public knowledge of which clearly have an adverse effect upon the finance of the borough. And matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential. Direction may be given to the attorney
or labor negotiator regarding labor negotiations, in particular to discuss labor contract negotiations with Matanuska Pacific Borough Employees Association. Those present during the executive session will be the mayor, members of the assembly, the clerk, the attorney, the finance director, the human resources director, and the acting assistant manager. And the manager.
Yeah, let's have the manager.
Thanks,
Charles. Okay, is there objection? There's no objection, so we will move into executive session. Yeah, give us
5 minutes for back.
Yeah, we'll be back. Is there objection? It is 10:25. Moving out of executive session. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I move.
Okay.
And acknowledging that the last 45 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
That's always true.